Big Nintendo has announced that Miitomo is joining Everybody Votes in the Digital Information Ether. Be sure to save your decorations for posterity. Tonight, we're going back to the past, but in a new way. Stay tuned for the rest of the week's gaming news, starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet. Welcome back. It's another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. Orange Lounge Radio. Live tonight, episode number 716 for this January the 28th of 2018. My name is Rob Roberts. You might know me on Twitter at Sky, S-K-I-E. Joining me, not tonight, unfortunately, Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers. She has the night off. She wasn't feeling too well. As you all know, she had some things a few weeks ago, and I think just she had a very busy day yesterday. I know she went to San Francisco. I think something involved with her sister's thing that she's involved with. So she probably needed today to relax, so we'll support that. But coming back to the show this way, I guess they're flip-flopping this month. Coming back to the show tonight, Techmaster Loki.
Hello.
How are you doing, Loki?
I'm doing all right.
Good. How was the kid's birthday?
It was good. We just went and had some food over at Olive Garden.
I wish somebody would do that for my birthday.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, he just wanted presents, so he got his presents. He got Power Rangers. He's been getting in the Power Rangers. Shame to be proud. So his favorite thing now is Power Rangers Ninja Steel and Samurai.
It's the latest series.
It's not the latest. I think it's one of them, because I think Mega Force is the latest one, because that has all of them.
Uh-huh.
It's sad that I know now about Power Rangers. I mean, yeah, this is not sad, but I'm starting to learn
something you never thought
would happen. Would happen, but he's really into it now. So he got a couple of the Ranger toys for his birthday. Then my dad came over, and he's like, "Well, what does he like?" I'm like, "Well, he likes Power Rangers, Ninja Steel stuff." So he ended up getting the Megazord thing, which is exactly what he wanted.
Oh, cool.
He didn't. He's like, oh, cool. That worked out, because we were looking for the other thing, but this is what they had. So
nice.
Yeah,
nice.
He's been playing with that. So it went all right. It was just very low key. We didn't really do anything.
Good. Well, we held down the fort best we could. We had I don't know if you heard the playback at all, but we had an interview with a old friend of the show, Mel B. Was here via Skype last week, and he was promoting the DDR Freestyle tournament, which happened on Saturday. So his Freestyle Takeover happened, and come to find out at the last minute they needed another judge because things happened. Somebody wasn't able to make it. So they actually reached out to me to see if I was if I would judge it. And I was really honored, but admittedly I was a little scared about judging, because I'm kind of I wasn't really a big freestyler. Everybody else on the panel was a big freestyler. But then I also thought, well, does Simon Cowell sing? I don't think he does.
No.
And I am really good at judging people. I do it a lot in my personal life. So, I did it, and I had a lot of fun. I was wondering, would my list match up with everybody else's? But the good news is I picked the same winner that actually won. So I guess I was on the same page after all. So it was good.
All right.
But the tournament was good. I just want to give a shout-out to everybody involved. There was only about 9 people that entered, which isn't quite maybe where Arcade Infinity was back in the day. But I kind of see it as a really good start to hopefully revitalizing. You gotta start somewhere, right?
Yeah, to be fair, it's kind of a renaissance now.
Yes.
It's coming back, because it's not what it was back then, you know, whereas...
Not yet, but it could get back there based on what we saw at the tournament. So, I know they've been talking about doing it again soon, and I hope they do. And I think one thing that probably really encourages them is the big turnout on Twitch. They had a pretty decent turnout on Twitch just from everybody, around being able to check it out. And, even if there wasn't a ton of in-competition routines to see, 9 isn't bad, though. There was a lot of exhibition stuff. A lot of the people who used to do it back in the day kind of got back up on the machine. No, I didn't do it. I wasn't really prepared to do that. so I didn't.
Yeah.
But a lot of the people that are better at dancing than I did got up there and did it. And it was fun to watch. So I really do hope they kind of keep pushing the freestyle thing and do it again, when they're talking about doing it again. I would really encourage, if it's possible, to maybe do stuff at conventions. That's what I'm going to kind of give them as feedback. It's go to conventions. Go to if MagWest comes back, see if you can't do some type of little freestyle exhibition thing in the arcade at MagWest, or, you know, California Extreme, or, you know, some of these other conventions.
Yeah.
Kind of, you know, let people see film, get the new movies out there, and it'll just build up from there. So I did see some of you guys in our chat room over at live.vognetwork.com, where we do tape live every Sunday night at the Voice of Geeks Network, vognetwork.com, 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show. I did see some of the chatters in the Twitch room, so I know y'all are getting around, so that's good. Let's see, over, I'm reading chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Dark Tetsuya said, Rob's American Idol reference makes me think of the only other DDR tournament I'd ever entered. Mel B did a really good Randy Jackson. Yes. Well, back when freestyle was first starting, American Idol had just started. So a lot of those jokes weren't really tired yet. Bobby Blackwolf asks, where was the Rob exhibition? About 30 pounds ago. Let's see. SG100 Matt says, I watched it after the fact. Well, yep, that's the great thing about archives. You can watch whenever you want. And SG100 Matt continues, it's funny that so many of my West Coast friends were at that tournament. Yeah, honestly, that was the best part. It really was seeing all these people I hadn't seen in years. Like, oh, hey, you got married and have kids now. And, oh, hey, I haven't seen you in, like, actually, like, 10 years. Even though we follow each other on Twitter, we only maybe live 2 hours apart. I actually joked to somebody. I said, this is, like, the high school reunion that I want to go to. That's what yesterday really felt like. Was, like, this is the high school reunion I want to go to. But then it's, like, you're mixed in with the current class. But it was good. It was good getting to see the future and the past, and I guess the present as well, of DDR freestyle. And it's really neat seeing this whole DDR thing kind of getting a bit of a renaissance. Like, you know, I have to be honest, I have nothing but respect for the people that are doing Perfect Attack and doing those tournaments, and I know there's great talent over there, but the reality is it's really hard for me to follow, because it's like I'm not at a stamina or a physical level where I can do that anymore, you know?
Yeah, I completely understand.
I know, we'll get to that in a minute. But the freestyle stuff, I mean, not that I don't know if I could get in that, but there's a showmanship and there's a showiness to the freestyle stuff that's very, very, you know, attracting. There was people, the nice thing about round one, it has like all these like glass fronts around the building. So there were people, and the DDR machines right in the front. So like there were these people that were randomly shopping in the mall, and they'd be kind of looking through the glass, and suddenly they're peering through the glass like it's those old Mervyn's commercials, open, 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 right?
Yeah.
It's that whole thing. And then, like, apparently, as I understand it, when there would be cheering and clapping because somebody did an awesome, like, leg drop or something, like, the people downstairs shopping at Macy's or some shit would be, like, turning around, like, what the hell's going on up there type of thing. So it was cool that it got that attention from, you know, normals. So, looking for more comments over at chat, live.vognetwork.com. Dark Tetsuya in chat says, yeah, that's what I said. I lost count of the times I heard... I'll count the times I said, wow, I haven't heard that name in years. Let's see. Bobby says, if I wasn't watching on my PS4, I would have chatted more. I think all I did was press F to pay respects once. What joke? Was that when the maple syrup fell over? I don't know if you guys saw that. Actually, I don't think that made the stream. But
why was there maple syrup involved in this tournament?
So Captain Canada, do you remember that name from back in the day?
I vaguely remember that.
So he was one of the guys that organized this tournament, and he did one of the exhibitions, and he went all out, and he did maple syrup shots before getting up on there. And then he had his big, instead of like the Avengers Captain America shield, there's like a Canadian version with a maple leaf.
Yes.
And then I don't know why, but, I don't remember his handle from back in the day. Ryan, I don't know what his handle was sitting in there in the audience with a Make America Great Again hat and was like booing and screaming. And then like at the end of the routine, Captain Canada kicked his ass. And it was funny. Like it's one of those, like you had to be there. It was really fun. Or you had to be on Twitch. It was funny. I got a kick out of it. And it was fun to watch. But that's why there was maple syrup at this tournament.
Okay.
Why not, Loki? Why not?
Because maple syrup and dance pads, that's just like, no.
Yeah, well, yeah. And when it's spilled, I was like, somebody better clean that up quick. Oh my gosh. Orange Rye asks, is it archived? Yeah, it's archived. The Twitch name is, which is funny, I think it's Captain Canada's Twitch, but his Twitch name is Gabby J, like the Super Punch Out. I think it's Gabby_J, and all the archives are there. I was watching some of it like very briefly earlier. SG100 Matt in chat also says, so your first impressions of round one, Rob? I've actually been before. That was not my first time to round one. I've actually been several times. The one in San Jose I've been to 4 or 5 times, and the one in Concord just as many. So, I sadly didn't play a lot.
I wish we'd get one over here.
Oh, here in SAC? There's rumors that they are looking at it. So we'll see. I mean, rumors are rumors, but they're out there. It may go in South Sacramento of all places. So, and I'm thinking it's probably the new Delta Shores still has some space they're trying to fill up. So that might be where they're looking at putting it, which would be very interesting. So we'll see. I mean, I would love it. But yeah, they're growing. They are opening more of them. So I hope they do make their way to Sacramento. That'd be rad. But in the meantime, a trip to I almost said Chico. A trip to Concord isn't that bad to go to round one. So it's only about an hour. So okay. So there's some DDR that happened yesterday, and I do just want to make sure I give snaps to all the organizers and all the people that participated, getting up there and doing their thing. So yeah, it was great. Thanks. Thank you for creating the high school reunion. I was happy to go to, as opposed to the one I literally took a nap instead of going to. Loki.
Yes.
So you've also had a busy week when it comes to Dance Dance Revolution.
Yeah.
We're throwing it back to episode one.
Just,
hell
just
yeah.
Just a little bit, yeah. So
okay, so what happened in your world this week? So why didn't you make the tournament?
Well, it's actually, well, even as far as last week. So last week, I went and looked at a Dance Dance Revolution machine that a private seller was selling, and I made the decision to purchase said machine. So yesterday, I got a U-Haul truck, went up there with a couple friends, and we went and brought the machine back to my garage. So now I am the owner of a Dance Dance Revolution Extreme machine.
Living the dream 16 years later, owning a DDR machine.
I know, it's just, it's ridiculous. So apparently, from what the seller said, he said that it originally came from the Santa Cruz Beach Boardwalk. I thought it was from their arcade, but I don't think it was. Hmm. It may have been actually on the boardwalk somewhere.
Oh, interesting.
Because
okay.
It is a little sun faded on the like marquee and stuff.
Yeah.
It was a third Korean machine, I think, that got bootleg upgraded to...
Downgrade that shit.
You know, I think it got upgraded to an extreme because the marquee...
Can you go backwards?
Well,
Korean is fucking rad.
If it's bootleg, it's maybe. If it's bootleg, you can usually. They have now you can get a DVD drive and hook it up to it, and they have a what's called a super disc that has 12 mixes on it. I'm assuming Third Korean is one of them. So you could do some of that stuff, but yeah.
Or fourth mix with the Korean stuff. I would accept that as well.
I've got a lot of DDR mix CDs and cassettes. So like I used to collect those back when I was trying to rip songs and stuff from them. So I have like fourth mix, fifth mix. I'm sure I've got max.
Do you know why you need a third Korean? Do you know why you need a third Korean?
The
Quad.
Fourth mix has all that stuff. Remember?
This song is so good. So good. Actually, a lot of the Korean songs are
there's
good.
A lot
that's
of
my
songs.
Favorite.
So,
yeah.
So I think that's what it was supposed to be. So it was. He said it was a Korean cab, but I don't know. So whatever. It was there. It ended up in a seller or an owner in Antioch for a while, and then the guy bought it. Who he has this huge arcade collection, like three rooms full of like 19 cabinets and stuff, and he's got like a Police 911 machine and like Gauntlet, Dark Legacy, and Area 51, a bunch of Star Wars pinball machines and stuff. And so he wants to get more machines, but this thing takes up way too much room. So he's getting rid of that and a bunch of other machines to make room for that.
You know who you can talk to about changing the mix on your machine? Our guest from last week, because he has the fully realized garage arcade dream. Now, you've said this is not a start to like
no
Loki's arcade.
My wife is not happy.
How is the wife dealing with this? Because that was my first thing. Was like, how did Loki convince the wife this was a good
I
idea?
I asked. She said yes reluctantly, but I'll take it.
It was still a yes.
It's still a yes. So no, it's. So, like I said, you know, it's in the garage. It's not really taking up space in the house. I know she wanted to park her car in the garage. The garage is not ready to park a car in yet. And honestly, the way I set it up, you can park a car in the garage still. And so we just
a small car.
Well, one car. I mean, we just need to. I've put it facing my garage door instead of facing sideways, like you would think against the wall.
Okay.
For a couple of reasons. One, so that I can get into the back if I want to do work on it or whatever. And two, it's narrower width-wise than it is length. So I just went ahead and put it that way so that when I do clean up the garage, you can park a car in there and have the DDR machine. The other thing is the guy that had it before the last guy, he put it in an LCD screen. So it has an LCD screen in it instead of an actual CRT, which made it a lot lighter to move. Because that thing fucking is heavy.
Yeah.
Those are heavy cabinets.
I'm sure. But also the sun fading probably impacted the old monitor that was in there. And the LCD probably doesn't get affected by that. Or it's...
Because
it got out of the sun by the time the LCD,
It's kind of rigged up. It's all right. It cuts off the bottom of the screen, but it looks like I can probably adjust it. But the big thing that's important is because if down the road I want to turn it into a Step Mania machine, it's going to be fucking easy to do it. Because I'm not going to need really the hardware to convert the signal over because it's just straight VGA.
Gotcha.
So that'll be awesome.
So how much of your machine have you actually got to play?
I played for 30 minutes yesterday.
Oh, good.
And here and there. The kids have been hogging it. They've been playing as much as they can.
I guess there's worse things the kids could be doing.
Yeah, so we put in the unlock codes because the guy that had it before me, he didn't know anything about it. Like, he's like... didn't know that there was more songs than what was initially on there. I'm like, dude, you can like change the sort, and there's like a whole bunch of like 100 extra songs that you haven't seen before. And I'm like, and you don't even have the unlock code in here, so there's like 30 more songs that are on there. It's all, what? I had no idea you could do that. And like when I tested it out, I played doubles. He's like, I didn't know you could do that. I'm like, how long have you had this machine? So
he wasn't loving it.
No,
he didn't love that machine, Loki. You love that machine. He didn't love it.
I mean, it's all right.
This is Loki's leg lamp.
No, it's good. I mean, I couldn't. The price was great. I mean, I didn't spend a lot of money on it, so it was a stroke of luck that I got it because there was other people interested in it. The one guy that was ahead of me, because when I said, "Okay, yeah, I want to get it," or "Can I look at it?" And he's like, "Okay, well, there's someone else that's interested. And if they want it, then they're going to take it. But they're going to see if it fits in their cabin in Lake Tahoe." And so they came back and they're like, "No, it doesn't fit in their cabin." So I was like, "Whoa, is this going to work out?" And then so I went and looked at it. I'm like, "Okay, is this really busted?" And he's like, "Well, the only thing that's wrong with it is this light's burnt out on there. There's one of the marquee lights was burnt out." Funny enough, I get it home.
You tried changing the light bulb.
No. It wasn't burnt out. The cord wasn't plugged in all the way. So
he didn't love that machine, Loki. It was so neglected.
It was fine. I mean, there's other things that need to be fixed on it, like some button, like one of the push buttons needs to be the thing needs to be replaced. But I can do that; it's super easy. And then that's the awesome. Pads on the left hand side are not sensitive anymore. So like, I fail songs on the left side, but when I play on the right side, I don't fail those songs. So there's sensors that need to be replaced or tweaks. I'm going to do the foam pad modification to it to make it more sensitive to see if that'll fix it. If not, just replace the sensors in it. And then the marquee, it looks like it was printed out, and I think it's got water damage to it because it looks all weird. I mean, it's fine, but...
Do you want a DDR second mix marquee for your machine?
No, I know. I'm good.
We have one hanging in the studio, for those who don't know. We have a DDR second mix marquee.
I don't need a second mix marquee. But no, there's like small things. I mean, it's absolutely minor. For like what I'm playing, I'm not trying to AAA a song right now. There's no fucking way that's going to happen. I'm like, I got to go back to playing single pad stuff, fours, the six, that's because I am just out of shape. So
it's a really good thing. I mean, this is the one plus about me not owning a home. Like, I know that's supposed to be the American dream and all, and Loki owns a home, Dark Sakura owns a home. I don't own a home, but I do worry if I did own the home, I'd be filling it up with all this shit, like even worse than both of you. And she has like 9 pinball machines. And now you have a DDR machine. I'm the only one. You know what I have? 2 little classic arcade machines that I bought at that Jamie bought me at Walmart because I wanted them, and that I have since put the official in this last week, the pop vinyl RuPaul's Drag Race collection on top of. So when you walk into my house in the garage, you now see drag queens and video games, and it's like it me.
Well, someday. Someday.
Someday
you can get like a 2DX or something.
Yeah. Oh, don't tease me. It'll be fun.
Yeah.
All right. So when's the big party? When are we all coming over to play?
I don't know. You guys can come over whenever you want.
Nice. I'll be there tomorrow. No, just kidding. We'll figure something out. It'll be fun.
Yeah.
We should do like a live stream from your garage at some point. That'd be fun.
Thankfully, like all the shots that we have of the garage right now have been the clean side because everything's pushed to the other side. So,
have you seen my office where I do my Twitch broadcast from? It's like there's the one little clean bubble. And then there's just stuff everywhere. It's fine. Television is an illusion, Loki.
So honestly, it's not that cluttered. It's just it's video game stuff that's in there. I've got my like Rock Band stuff. I've got boxes of equipment that I had from when I had like, we had a game room set up at my old work. So I've got like all the cables and stuff for that, and just like parts and things. So it's stuff that I can get cleaned up out of there. It's just. Right now, I haven't gotten a chance to, but we're doing like
Loki. I am not one to judge over a messy home. I'm really, really not. So,
but no,
your garage can have as much crap.
Let me put it this way: like all the minor things aside, I don't fucking care because it's a DIR machine. It fucking works. It's not broken ass because like the stuff that
it's yours.
And
bitch.
It's mine. No, seriously, the stuff I was looking at that price before was like it was a broken. A broken TechnoMotion machine that needed a ton of work and like monitor was missing and stuff like that. This is a machine that's actually in great, I think it's been pretty great condition.
Just neglected.
It's just minor shit. I mean, I can deal with minor shit. That's fine. So.
All right. Well, I'm going to throw this out there. The biggest regret for me personally, this goes back to the whole Where's Rob's Arcade, was when I saw that Burger Time machine at the Roseville auction, I didn't buy it. That's my biggest regret in life. I try not to have many regrets, but not buying that Burger Time machine is one of them. So I'm glad you fully realized your dream, Loki.
Oh, those always. I mean, yeah. I mean, this is pretty much the end game. So like, my wife's like, "Well, what? The next thing? It's just going to be bigger and bigger and bigger." I'm like, "No, this is what I wanted." Like when I built the first arcade cabinet, it was to convert into a DDR machine. When I got the candy cab, it was to make a DDR machine. You know, it's like it's always been to make a DDR machine. Now I have a DDR machine. Don't need to make a DDR machine.
There it is.
It's done. There it is.
Now you just have to make a game.
Now yeah.
All right, we're going to move on. That was a lot of DDR talk, but the good kind, is good. It's been a long time since we were a DDR-focused show. Memories. All right, let's talk about the actual kickoff topic we were supposed to talk about tonight, because we are all about all types of video games. Loki, give us a news story here to start us off.
So,
this is about Facebook, right?
Yeah, so Facebook's trying to get into the game streaming business. So, they're working on creating a competitor to, Twitch or, maybe YouTube Gaming. They're saying that right now they're exploring different options for monetization.
Leaving out Mixer as a competitor, shade button. Just an observation. Go ahead.
But they're saying that, I guess they have a pilot program. They're planning on using, I guess, the existing technology that Facebook has. And they said they also wanted to... use the Oculus as one of their streaming platforms, using for VR games or something like that. So it's interesting. However, though, I'm still a little concerned because Facebook does apparently has the exclusive streaming rights for the ESL and broadcasting the Dota 2 stuff, and apparently it wasn't all that great. And on top of that, they've been kind of doing the smackdown on people that have been broadcasting on their own on Twitch because, like in TV, certain channels get the rights to, exclusive rights to broadcast like the NFL or, NBA or stuff like that. And so because this is the internet, it's still not really different in that respect. However, it's kind of conflicting based off of what they've said before where, oh, yeah, anybody can broadcast these, Dota TV things. But so some people are not happy that their channels have gotten banned.
But you just can't do it to a competitor either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
because they really don't like it when you stream like NFL games or the worst is the pay-per-view events. Like don't try streaming those to Twitch. You will get banned for that and it's not good.
Yeah, so apparently they had some screenshots of what it looked like and it was just looks like a garbled mess.
Well, I thought Facebook kind of did some game streaming as it is. I know especially with Blizzard, they have the Facebook stuff built in there, and once in a great while I will see friends streaming maybe like Overwatch or Heroes of the Storm or something on to Facebook. But I don't think that's really maybe caught on as big as Facebook would hope. Well, and it's kind of – it's like right in the middle of the feed with, oh, so-and-so's recent cat picture and so-and-so's moral outrage about
some political
article.
Well, that's the thing with, like, Facebook. Like, their feed is jacked up if you're not using, like, some sort of external thing to fix it because – like, I'll go and find something. It's like, oh, hey, that's pretty cool. And I'll scroll down the screen or something and scroll back up. And it's like, oh, now it reshuffled everything. And now that story's gone. It's like, great. So, I mean, they need – I think if they're going to do a streaming platform, that they need to separate it off, like another section of, you know, streaming or gaming or something like that that's, like, completely separate that you can find all that. Because just finding it in your feed is going to be really hard to – engage in people, and if they want to like do it like Twitch, how's someone going to discover your stream if they're not like friends with you or something?
Yeah, discoverability is a huge part of why I think Twitch has been so successful. Is that, you know, it's pretty easy to you know, categorize what you're doing and have the ability to be discovered, especially since Twitch launched the community thing. And I really wish they'd integrate the community thing better into the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One versions of the app, but it's probably just not their highest priority right now. But yeah, discoverability is really big on Twitch. And to, as much as I hit the shade button on Mixer earlier, you know, I still think Mixer as a platform from a technological standpoint has a lot of awesome stuff. Like, I love that you get the credits for watching things. And I think the discoverability in some ways in Mixer is actually almost a little better because Mixer really likes to feature up-and-comers in a particular section of their website as well. It's just that Mixer hasn't caught that wave yet. You know, it just doesn't have everybody
on
it.
Big, a lot of big name stuff there. And honestly, like with Twitch, I don't really go to Twitch to watch anything. Like, it's not like a YouTube or anything like that for me. It's more of like...
Mixer's better than YouTube for me. YouTube's at the bottom of the barrel for me. But that's me personally.
Well, I don't really watch live streams. I mean, I watch pre-taped live streams, I guess. Mm-hmm. But I don't watch a ton of live streams on YouTube. But... for me, it's like I won't go to Twitch unless I'm watching, like, you know, Awesome Games Done Quick or something like that that I know is going to be there. You know, it's not like I'm going to go watch somebody on Twitch. I don't really have anybody I follow that broadcasts really frequently on Twitch.
Over in chat at live.vognetwork.com, ActDev says, I know people that stream games on Facebook. How do they what do they get out of it? Do they just like to show off to their friends, or are they getting discovered by others? Or, I mean, are they happy with it, I guess? I guess if they're still doing it, they are. But I'm kind of curious about that, ActDeft. And looking at some other comments over at live.vognetwork.com, Fantaz in chat says, people actually watch Mixer. I know they do. I'm just being shady. And it is integrated well into the Xbox One. Obviously, you would hope that it is. And I do appreciate that even though Microsoft has Mixer, they haven't tried to be shady about like blocking Twitch or YouTube or other ways to do it. I do appreciate and applaud Microsoft for not being shitty about that, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Oh, and the other thing I think is really cool about Mixer that I thought Twitch would have stolen by now, but is the whole co-streaming where you do the multiple points of view all at once. I mean, it can get a little chaotic with the audio, but I think if, you know, you do it right, like, those can be a lot of fun. I would like to do more of those.
They should do the audio similar to how they did it with Awesome Games Done Quick, where they have, like, yeah, you know, this one has the audio source, the rest are just, you know, video.
Mm-hmm. ActDeft in chat points out their fan pages. It's a regional gaming group and have streams for Xbox and Nintendo stuff. Tiger Claw in chat says you can stream games on Periscope. I didn't realize that. I mean, it makes sense. I kind of forgot about Periscope.
Yeah.
But anyway. All right. So we'll see how Facebook does with this. Again, I have concerns. I think Facebook's trying to get its hands in a lot of pots. And I think there's an interesting, I think, kind of backlash coming for Facebook. I mean, we all have those couple friends of ours that have deleted their accounts by now. If you're not one of them, I'm sure we have listeners who left Facebook a long time ago or don't use it because, you know, there is a lot of crap on there and there's a lot of, you know, weird social interactions that happen there that don't happen in real life. What I mean is people leave comments to other people you wouldn't say to somebody's face in real life. And I think a lot of people are starting to realize that some of that on Facebook is kind of toxic in a way.
Yeah.
You know, what was it Tim Cook had recently said? And Tim Cook is what, you know, the CEO of Apple. He said he wouldn't let his nephew use social media or something like that. I mean, that's pretty – and one of the guys that used to work at Facebook has kind of expressed regret for some of the stuff. Like, some of these tech giants are starting to come out and say, maybe the monster we built, maybe – what was it called in Terminator? Maybe that this wasn't such a good idea after all.
Cyberdyne,
yeah. Maybe Faceadyne wasn't the best idea after all. So.
Or what was it? No, it wasn't the site. Cyberdyne was the name of the company. It was.
Why can't I remember? Somebody in chat will remember over at live.vognetwork.com. Dungeon Buster.
Skynet.
Skynet. Skynet. There it is.
It took me a sec.
That's the beauty of having a live chat room. They're here to correct us when our old brains can't remember from a movie from
There's a lot of useless 94. Knowledge up there, so it's like sometimes pushes out the...
It knows how to fix a DDR machine, but it forgot about Skynet. All right. Anyway, let's get into talking a little bit about our gaming weeks and the types of video games that we've been playing this week. Loki, I'll start with you. How was your gaming week?
So aside from, I did play a little bit of DDR Extreme, obviously. So I played, quite a few songs. It's funny, like going back and playing that, like there's a lot of songs I'm like, I didn't remember that being on DDR Extreme. Like I thought that they got rid of that song after Max 2 or something. There's a lot of like crossover songs that I was like, oh yeah, was that on there? I thought that wasn't on there. So that was kind of interesting just to go back and see all that stuff. But yeah, I'm trying. My goal is to play at least 30 minutes a day that, for exercise. And honestly, right now, that's about all I can handle, which is, it's sad that I've gotten to this point. But I mean, one of the reasons why I got a DDR machine is because I know it's something that I would be able to stick with. So that's the whole point, is just exercise. And any exercise is better than no exercise. So that's my goal, so is to work on that and hopefully be able to actually play more like I used to, maybe after a year or two of doing that. And then, of course, non-DDR stuff, I did play, still kind of DDR related. I played some Stepmania because I downloaded that on my PC just to kind of mess around with, and that's still fun. Non-DDR related stuff, I've been playing Stardew Valley still, and it's all right. I don't know. It's just a grind, but at least it seems like it's somewhat entertaining. For me, it seems like it's a good mix of like almost Animal Crossing with Minecraft and I guess maybe Harvest Moon, but I've never played Harvest Moon. So it's just, I don't know. It's entertaining and relaxing, I guess. There's not a whole lot to it. So I've been doing that. And then, I don't know. That's it. I haven't really been playing too many mobile games this week either.
All right. Let's see. I want to respond to this at live.vognetwork.com, going back just a little bit. But SSG100 Matt in chat says, I streamed last night, but only one person came to watch. I kind of stream so infrequently that I understand if I don't get too many viewers. But to be honest, I don't do it for views. I mostly want to do it to share the things that I like with my friends and like-minded folks. You're in the right mindset, SSG100 Matt. If you get into anything regarding content creation, expecting to make 500 views out the gate, you're only going to be disappointed. Like, let me tell you, from having done this show for 15 years, there have been episodes where we have 6 listeners. There have been episodes where we had 6,000 listeners. And it's gone up and down and all around over the years. We've been kind of fortunate to see both sides of it all. But at the end of the day, here doing OLR, it's really about, you guys, the loyal folks that we have showing up every Sunday, getting to hang out with Loki and Jamie and just like kind of putting the content out there. I think it kind of all comes together. We just do it because it's fun. It's a thing to do on Sundays.
Exactly.
Yes. So I know that's kind of where your mind is at, SSG100 Matt, but I'm kind of sharing this for everybody. But if you want to like grow your audience, I think one of the easiest and best ways to do that, especially on Twitch, is support other people. And what I mean by that is follow other accounts. Even if you can only host your one viewer when you're done for somebody else, do it, because people will recognize that stuff. And then, you make other friends that broadcast. Maybe one of these days when they're done with a stream, they'll send their viewers to you. You guys might remember, I don't have a huge Twitch presence because my main focus has been on podcasting, and I've kept trying and trying to do the Twitch thing, but I'm back to doing 3 podcasts a week, which is, that's a lot of my time. I'm very happy with it. I feel like I'm creating a variety of content again, which was something that was really missing from last year. So, I'm happy, but I don't have a huge audience on Twitch, and that's okay. But you guys might remember one night after the show, I was doing Cuphead, right? And some random guy playing Cuphead dumped 73 viewers on me at one point, which is a lot of viewers for my stream. So, you just never know when something's going to hit. But a big part of it is just like getting out there, doing it regularly, supporting other people. At some point, you will be noticed, and that one viewer may turn into five viewers, which may not seem like a huge number, but it's five times what you had before.
Yeah.
So, you know, it'll happen. Just keep at it. And I, you know, I kind of have to remind myself of this advice too, because I've been very bad about doing the Twitch thing regularly. But, you know, I've chosen to stick more with podcasts. It's what I know. I think I'm good at. So, you know, and I feel really good about what's going on with here, with what I do for Reading is Fundamental, even though I'm, you know, not the producer of that show. I feel good about what I'm contributing there. And then Shaking and Crying, which, you know, I promoted on the show last week. I'm having great feelings about that show. It's really, really good to be doing that show with Victoria, and I've gotten some good feedback on that. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
To register participation for this week's episode of Orange Lounge Radio at VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase ROOT.
I guess I kind of got on a tangent there, but that's okay. That was an important comment over at live.vognetwork.com. I'm also trying to catch up on other chats over at live.vognetwork.com. ActDeft in chat says, the same happens for me and my podcast. We don't get more than like 20 views on YouTube, but I like talking about stuff. Well, you know what? 20 people would still fill a small room. That's still like a well-attended meeting, you know? So that's pretty good. You know, 20 is nothing to be ashamed of whatsoever.
Yeah.
You know, find the joy in the small audiences. And it sounds like you do. I'm just, you know, reiterating that for maybe people who don't. Let's see. Over at chatlive.vognetwork.com, ActDef points out GFM cast. It's in Spanish, hence why I don't really promote here that much. Well, hey, if we have Spanish speakers out there, go to GFMcast. There you go. Free plug. There you go. That's how knowing people will help out sometimes. Bobby Blackwolf says, that's more people than attended some of VOG's DragonCon panels, 20 people. That's absolutely right. That's absolutely right. We've had less people that show up in person for a VOG panel, and it happens. We still did the best panel we could, and we had a lot of fun, and we may have been sober or not, but we had a really good time. So I always have a great time at DragonCon. Okay, my gaming week over at live.vognetwork.com in chat if you want to chat along with the show. Honestly, see, my gaming week wasn't really that spectacular. All the usual suspects, right? Y'all know I play Ingress and Pokemon Go all the time. That's no surprise. Final Fantasy 14, I've kind of been ramping more and more because there's a big patch that comes out on Tuesday. And like I mentioned a few weeks ago, I moved servers, which was, you know, it was a hard change, but, you know, I'm trying to take in the whole, like, okay, new people I'm playing with, I haven't got to play with before, so I can kind of go do new stuff. So, you know, kind of been enjoying that type of thing. Yeah, still Heroes of the Storm, quite a bit of that. I try to do my matches every day. I just bought Hanzo today, who's more fun to play in Heroes of the Storm than he is in Overwatch, in my opinion, but that's just my opinion. Played a little bit of Overwatch because I wanted to do that cosmetic update that just happened, and I had to buy Pharah's new skin. Like, and I actually had the currency to do it, so I was really happy. So I got Pharah's new skin. So yay! All right. So that's really my gaming week. That was really.
Did you play anything at round one?
No. Is that weird?
That is weird.
There was just so many people there that obviously all the music games were like taken over, and I didn't really want to play the ticket games or the crane games, and I don't know. I thought about playing Theater of Them, but then it's like when I would kind of look over there, then it's like, oh, there's that person I haven't seen in like 5 years. And so I just didn't get around to it. Okay. I did go to Daiso and I bought a ton of candy. So, you know, I did something while I was at the mall. And the mall actually had the RuPaul's Drag Race pop vinyls in stock, whereas it was all sold out here. So thank you to DDR Freestyle Takeover for getting me to that mall where these were actually in stock. So there's that. Let's see. Going to chat over at live.vognetwork.com. SSG 100 Matt says, I want to get Widowmaker's new skin. Phantaz says, I'm wondering if it's finally time for me to buy Overwatch yet. Have made some new friends that play it. I think Overwatch is a great game, and it's, you know, they're what's really good about it is that Blizzard hasn't just shut it down after a year. They're still adding to it. They're still investing in it. So, you know, I think there's a lot there. Overwatch has those free weekends pretty regularly. Like, it feels like it's almost once a month or once every other month at this point. So if you're really not sure, wait for one of those free weekends and then you can play with your friends and hopefully you'll have a good experience and then maybe you'll decide to buy the game. I feel like it's on sale a lot these days too. So, you know, the price of getting in the door is not as high as it was. So, all right. I also Fantas, make sure you know what platform your friends are on, though, because I'm sure you're already aware, but PC not cross-platform with PlayStation 4, not cross-platform with Xbox One. So that's why I have the game on both PC and PlayStation 4, because I have friends that pretty much only play on PlayStation 4, and I have friends that pretty much only play on PC. Truth be told, I don't get on PlayStation 4 a lot and play with my friends. I kind of tend to gravitate to PC, but that's only because when it comes to shooters, these days I kind of prefer keyboard and mouse. It's weird. When it's Halo, I prefer controller, but I feel like Halo was made for controller, and Overwatch was probably made for PC and then kind of like backed into controller, if that makes sense. But I know some people that play Overwatch that swear by controller, so you do what works for you. It ain't always about me.
I only play the controller because I don't do – I never got on the keyboard mouse.
that's like the only way I can
I know,
do it.
And playing controller on PC is probably really dumb. Yeah. But
no,
I'm
no,
sorry.
No, you're not.
I have a laptop. I have no place to put a mouse.
You're not the only one that does it. I know for a fact you're not the only one that's plugged a controller in the PC and done it that way. I think you're putting yourself at a disadvantage, but
I don't play competitively. Well, actually, I don't play at all right now, but you know, I wasn't playing competitively to begin with.
But so, like, if you know that you're going to fumble with keyboard and mouse and you're better with controller, then is it really a hindrance?
Yeah, I know, because I'm not used to it at all. I mean, and I was trying to think back when I used to play, like, Duke Nukem and stuff. I'm like, that was all keyboard. There was no mouse. It was just straight up just keyboard. So I'm like, how the fuck did I do that?
Bobby Blackwolf in chat at live.vognetwork.com says, it's time to cars, controller only confirmed.
No, I had keyboard stuff as well.
A designer has to consider all elements. So, anyway. All right, let's get to some gaming news. I will just mention housekeeping. I don't have a lot to say except follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/OLR. We're also on Facebook, facebook.com/Orange Lounge Radio. You know what I haven't plugged in a while is the Discord server. If you're not on the Discord server, you really should check it out. It's all free. Many of y'all are using Discord for your other games anyway. Like if you're playing Overwatch online, you might just be saying screw it to Blizzard chat and using Discord. If you're playing anything Nintendo online, you're probably using Discord because Nintendo's app. Let's be real. So join the VOG Network Discord. It's vognetwork.com/Discord, and that'll keep you up to date on all the latest and greatest going on around the network, including new shows as they come up online from, you know, not just us, but all the great shows on our network, as well as some of the shows, if they've opted in, and if you're a show that wants to opt in, let me know, have their own chat channels, and you can we have a channel on there, and we have some some folks that post stories in there that we sometimes read on the show. I know this week we just got a new one for Anime Jam Session, now has a chat room, and Shaking and Crying, the newest VOG Network show, also has a chat room, so that's just growing over Discord. So check that out, vognetwork.com/Discord. Okay, let's get into gaming news. I think it's time. Loki,
yes,
let's do it.
So there is a social platform that's shutting down, Miitomo. It's shutting down May 9th. So
thankfully, we didn't have a Miitomo club.
Yeah.
Well, I do feel bad this is coming up the week that Dark Sakura isn't here, because I feel if anybody can appropriately eulogize Miitomo, it would be the one of us that's actually still playing it pretty regularly. So we'll have to kind of ask her how she's doing about it next week. But yeah, Jamie's the big Miitomo player here.
Yeah, so basically May 9th, they're going to be shutting down pretty much all the services that it relies on. So if you try to launch the app after May 9th, it'll basically let you know that you're not going to be able to use it. It says you'll no longer be able to see your answers or messages in the app. You can transfer your Mii character to your Nintendo account by linking it to Miitomo, and your sidekick Mii characters will be deleted, but you can keep your sidekick Mii characters by saving them with a QR code or something like that. And then they say Miitomo themed icons and clothing items used in your Nintendo account or Super Mario Run game will not display after the service has ended. So, interesting. I'm surprised. Like, how long was it out? Was it a couple years or not even?
It's probably been about a year and a half.
Year and a half?
It feels like. I don't know. Maybe somebody in chat knows the exact date. I don't know. But I feel like it hasn't been a very long time. Nintendo just
and
recently got
into
mobile.
May 9th is such a weird day to do that on. It's like a Wednesday. So is there something else coming out around that time to replace it?
It launched March 17th, 2016. So it'll actually be coming up
on 2 years.
Yeah, it'll be coming up on 2 years by the time they pull the plug. So,
interesting. But okay, it's weird, though. Like, I don't know. So I guess all those Miitomo coins or whatever that you earn in that, you can't redeem on your Nintendo game.
No more platinum
coins.
That's dumb. Act Deft in chat says, I still play Miitomo, and makes a little face with that. It sucks that all the features from Miitomo will not work after May. I'm going to miss taking me photos and dressing up my Mii. Yeah, I see a lot of people still use, like, when I do see Miitomo, it's people using the little, like, Miitomo picture generator with their phone camera to do like AR type of pictures, I guess, for lack of a better way of saying it. That's kind of where I see that feature used the most now. So
I wonder if they're coming out with something else then to replace it then.
I don't know, Loki. I think this just might be a sign that Nintendo's mobile ventures have not been doing as well as hoped.
Because like I didn't play this. Did they have anything like any sort of premium content that you had to purchase in there? Or?
All those costumes.
All the costumes.
Oh yeah. Hmm. I mean, you could earn some in-game currency like slowly, and you got your rewards for logging in. Remember Miitomo? I don't know if you know. It had like the little pachinko type thing where you could do the drop, and then the drops have some of those premium items in them, and so you could pay currency to get more of the drops. But you could also earn, you know, kind of slowly through in-game methods as well, as the way most mobile games work.
Yeah.
It's either pay to speed it up or, you know, earn it slowly through answering questions, getting people to like your posts, those types of things. And that's the other thing about Miitomo. It wasn't much of a game as it was like a social experiment. I don't know what else to label it. The closest thing it really came to was Tomodachi Life, which isn't much of a game either. In fact, in my opinion, and some will disagree and disagree strongly, but in my opinion, Tomodachi Life is a terrible game. It's made some great memes online and so forth, but I think it's just a dumb 3DS app.
To me, it seemed like those games were even less involved than the free 3DS games that they have included in the 3DS, like the little RPG and stuff that you get with the coins that you would earn.
There's going to be people out there who are really mad that they're basically losing what they spent their premium coins on after only 2 years, but...
Get used to that. That's any digital thing.
Right? That's the tricky thing, is that's really any digital thing in this day and age. Like, someday, Loki, there isn't going to be Ingress anymore, which probably would be a better thing for my health and the health of some people I know. But someday, Loki, there's not going to be a Pokemon Go anymore. And that's going to be personally upsetting because I've really not spent that much money on Ingress, all things said and done. I mean, maybe on the like physical stuff that ties to Ingress, like the sweatshirt I own and things like that. But like in the game itself, I've barely spent money. But in Pokemon Go, I don't want to talk about it. We already talked about it a few weeks ago on the show, and I'm not going back there. I've spent more than I care to admit again. And so inevitably, Pokemon Go will go away. I think Pokemon Go is going to last longer than 2 years. You know, it's still doing very well.
But you just
well
have to look at the amount of time that you spent playing the game versus the amount of money that you dropped into it and whether that was worth it or not, which it probably was. I mean, you spent hours playing the game, and I'm sure that the cost per hour is, you know,
and that's what
very
I have,
small.
That's kind of what I have to remember. You're right, is that sometimes, Loki, it's not about the Pokemon we caught, but it's about the friends we made along the way. And, you know, I have met new people playing Pokemon Go. I went out and did a walk around Capitol Park for 3 hours on Community Day, and that's probably not something I would have done if Pokemon Go didn't exist. So you're right. That's the only way I'm going to be able to kind of cope when these games inevitably shut down is, well, at least I did all this other shit that would have never happened if it wasn't for those games.
Yeah.
Now, can I say that about Miitomo?
No.
Most of the people I talk to on Miitomo, all of the people I talk to on Miitomo, are people that were connected through my Facebook or my Twitter account anyway, which if I want to post status updates and answer questions, those are probably better platforms for me to be using. The only thing Miitomo gave me that those platforms didn't give me was virtual Barbie and Ken. And room designer, which I know they added to Miitomo later on, and some of the other design features, you know, that don't really exist on those other platforms. So That's what Facebook needs to get into. Forget this whole game broadcasting thing. They need to take PlayStation Home and put it on Facebook.
Well, they do have
see,
Oculus.
Have ways to decorate. Oh, yeah. There you go.
But the closest
VR
thing...
chat coming soon
oh,
to Facebook.
Oh, God, they already have it.
I know. So coming soon there.
Yeah, VR chat, it's slowly working its way to Second Life.
Speaking of games that are going under. Phantasm Chat, and I don't think this is on the show roll anywhere else, Phantasm Chat over at live.vognetwork.com also brings up Rest in Peace Paragon. Yeah, that was just announced this past week too, that Paragon is getting shut down. And I'm just assuming because Fortnite is where the money's at right now, and everybody's, they're just reallocating their resources there. Like, this is the game that's making waves, and Paragon wasn't. So, see you later, Paragon. It's kind of sad for the loyalists that were playing that Paragon game.
Yeah.
I checked it out once or twice on PlayStation 4, but I didn't think it was as good as Overwatch. It just wasn't. I'm sorry. I know there's fans of that game, but it didn't feel as polished. The heroes didn't make sense in the same way, but maybe I'm trying to apply Overwatch logic to Paragon. It just didn't really work. So, but I have played Fortnite, and I do like that. I tried the Battle Royale-esque thing in Fortnite, and that was fun for a little bit, and then I kind of realized I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. So I just need to keep trying, I guess.
Well, I guess now if you want to play with Paragon, you just have to play more Diablo 3.
All right. Anyway, let's move on. Talking about live streaming, as we were doing earlier, let's talk about Twitch. And actually, this is a big win for Twitch. Twitch, back in 2016, took legal action against bot sellers. So basically, if you were that comment we got earlier that I'm only getting one viewer and it's impossible for me to get discovered, well, you could pay bots to come watch your stream and help boost you up in the rankings, which I do not endorse. You should not do. That's a terrible idea because that type of shit just always has a way of catching up with you. And that's kind of what happened here. Twitch took some legal action, and some court documents were filed on January 22nd that has shown a California judge ordered bot makers Michael and Catherine and Jomi to permanently shut down the software and pay Twitch $1.3 million. You know where that number came from? $55,000 for damages. $1.31 million is the profits they made off the business. Think about that for a minute. So when you hear this judgment for $55,000, we'll say that was court fees and now the actual damages, right?
Yeah.
That bot made $1.3 million. There's that many people out there desperate to bump up their view counts. I'm not trying to like make anybody feel bad or anything, but I'm just trying to like put myself in their shoes. Like I just would never pay for that. Like, why would you want artificial people watching? Because they're not going to stay around once the time's up. You know, it's almost like you get addicted to it, right? It's virtual drugs. That's what it is, right? Just sure. One hit. I want to see what it feels like to have 100 viewers and go viral. Just one hit. And then when you stop paying, they're all gone. And if your content wasn't engaging enough to get that stuff, you know, organically, then you're not going to keep any of those people that, you know, got fooled into subscribing to your stream. And so you're just going to have to pay again and again and again. Virtual drugs. That's what it is.
Yeah.
$1.3 million worth of virtual drugs. Dungeon Buster in chat at live.vognetwork.com says, views are social currency to some, and they want more regardless of the cost. And Akuma JP in chat says, throwing back to an OLR in joke, I'll friend your butt for a fee. That's an in joke from OLR, going back to an old YouTube video. Kaijudo in chat says, I have no problem with them using bots. I get why Twitch is mad, but it means nothing to me if they used bots or not. Well, I mean, I suppose at the end of the day, you're right. What they do doesn't really affect me. I mean, their artificial ranking might outrank my organic ranking, but at the end of the day, does it really matter? Probably not. But the judge did rule in Twitch's favor legally. Kaijudo, the judge is on Twitch's side because it was trademark infringement, unfair competition, a violation of the Anti-Cybersquatting Consumer Protection Act, because they had names like shoptwitch.com, twitchstreams.org, and they would provide streamers with fake viewers for up to $760 a month. And so Twitch said it made it unfairly easy for streamers to earn money and clear the hurdle into the partner program. Oh, I didn't think of that. That's why some people were doing this, was so that they could artificially hit those milestones to get into the partner program and then dream that they're going to make all this money back now that they're in the program.
Well, It's a good thing that no other streaming platforms out there raise the requirements to get into their partner programs. So I'm sure that won't be a problem anywhere else.
No, it won't. So, and Twitch said it resulted in a deluge of shoddy content for its viewers, saying, quote, instead of engaging in interesting social interactions on Twitch, they may encounter bots spewing lists of random words. So, interesting. I just didn't realize. I thought that was worth noting because I just did not realize how much money was going into that. You know what I mean? And the fact that, you know, Twitch kind of won that. So if you are one of these people that uses these botting services, it's going to come around eventually. So don't get too used to it. So, and legally now there's precedent. So anyway, let's move on. Loki.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about Pokemon Go. So they had some new Pokemon make their way out over here. The big one being, I guess, from the Hoenn region. So they've got, I know I saw the picture of it. Was it, is it Camerupt, Nosepass, Trapinch, Aggron, and they're saying that even Solrock and Lunatone.
Yeah, those are the two that have these weird region rules, it seems like. So there's more regional exclusives. Hooray.
Yeah, so all in all, there was like 23 new Pokemon that were added.
I don't know about you guys in your parts of the world, but these 23 new Pokemon are not very prolific for me. I'm not seeing them as often as I see other new stuff when they release. Like, for example, there's a Zigzagoon on the house right now. I see those all the time from Gen 3, which matches the games. They were kind of the Rattata trashy mons in that series of games. But I don't see these new ones very often at all. I think I've caught like an Aeron. I've caught the thing that looks like a flower with tentacles or something weird. But I've hatched a lot because Pokemon also is doing that event right now where all the eggs are hatching Gen 3 Pokemon. I don't remember how long that's going. I think it was about a week. But all the eggs you collect now are going to hatch Gen 3 Pokemon. Keep in mind, if you have eggs in your inventory that you've been sitting on for a while, they can still hatch anything. They might hatch Gen 3, but they're probably going to hatch Gen 1 or 2 because what is in the egg is determined when you get the egg. So any egg you collect now is going to have Gen 3 Pokemon in it.
Yeah, I need to hatch my eggs.
Which is, yeah, it's really good because I've been waiting to get like a Wonder Treecko so I can evolve that because I have like 70 Treecko candy, so I was ready to evolve it to the next step, but I was like waiting to get a Wonder, or for those who don't know what that is, it's basically like a high appraised one that has good attack, defense, HP. So I was waiting until I got a Wonder Treecko to evolve it, you know, on down the line. It took me forever to get a Torchic that way too. But when you hatch Pokemon, I think they're guaranteed to at least be like, 70% IV, 80% IV, I think. So it's always going to be one of the top two appraisals. You're not going to get like, oh, this Pokemon is very unfortunate. So you're not going to get that.
This Pokemon, you should just put it down.
Yeah, this take this Pokemon out.
It's back not even bar. Worth the meat it's made up of.
Yeah. Let's see. ActDef says, I do see Numels and Wishmer, though. There was a Numel nest for a day here in SAC because the nest rotated the day they launched Gen 3, these new ones, and then they rotated again the very next day during their regular rotation. So Capitol Park downtown was a Numel nest. Numel
so what's
nest
it now?
For a day. Meowth. Womp womp. Yeah, right?
Stupid.
Been there, done that. I mean, that was a Whalmer nest just a couple weeks ago. That was the mother load because I actually got, a Whalmer nest, and I got a Whale Lord just because that was a nest, and that's where we went on community day. So it was like Pikachu, Whalmer, Pikachu, Whalmer, Pikachu, Whalmer. It was, you know, awesome. But yeah, now it's Meowth. So we're hoping it'll turn into something better in a couple weeks. Also pointing out Wishmer is pretty common. Yeah, I have been seeing. I would say Wishmer is the one I've been seeing the most. But Wishmer is also one of the rare Pokemon that only takes 12 candy to evolve. So that's good that that's plentiful because it's something new for the evolving game than just Pidgey. So that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Can we just get rid of the Pidgeys? That would be nice.
No, of course, I like catching Pidgeys because I go, yay, this is more XP from evolving.
Okay. And then, of course, has been the main complaint with Pokemon Go, lots of hacking. So I guess these new Pokemon Go EX raids have been a prime target of hacking. So I guess EX raids, because I haven't actually done these yet, so they're an invitation-only game event.
Neither have I. with as much as I play Pokemon Go, I have yet to get invited to one of these raids because they only ever put out the passes for the stupid sponsored stops. And we don't have a Sprint store in this neighborhood or a Starbucks that is a sponsored stop. A gym. Sorry. They're sponsored stops. We don't have gyms. Like, none of the Starbucks here are gyms. The closest Starbucks gym, and I'm not giving away where I live because this is far away. Loki's. How about Arden is the closest Starbucks gym? That's a ways away from here.
Oh, I've got one right by my house.
Yeah.
The Safeway by my house is a...
You're going to give away where you live, but okay.
Oh, yes. By the Safeway. Which Safeway do
all
I
right,
live
all
by?
Right. You yes. do what you want.
So there's a Safeway by my house that's a Starbucks gym. And then in that same shopping center, they actually have a Sprint store that's also another sponsor. Oh. It's not a...
Convenient.
I don't know if it's a gym. I think... It might be a gym. I don't remember.
I actually know exactly where that is.
Yes. Yeah, so.
But anyway, I do want to quickly say before, because people are already starting to correct me in chat, I do understand that parks are supposed to be rewarding this as well. Okay, I have a park right by my house I raid in frequently. There's another park down the street I go to all the time I raid at frequently. There's plenty of parks I've been raiding at, and all the EX passes still seem to be going to Starbucks and Sprint. I think some of the parks in like East Sacramento downtown, kind of like 30, I think McKinley Park, I heard, got a raid. But it's rare. It's not, they need to rotate where that shit is happening better. Like, I get why they have sponsored stops, but just, you know, yeah. Enough. Jesus.
So basically what happened was, is there was an account of one person that did receive one of these invitations. It's basically a 20-man raid. At a certain location, and so the person gets there to go, you know, catch, I guess, Mewtwo or something like that, and the app said that there was 40 people standing right next to him when there was no one standing next to him. It's just, you know, people spoofing their location.
And that's why they need to mix it up, because they need to throw these spoofers off their game, because spoofers are regularly raiding those stupid Sprint and Starbucks gyms so that they can get these EX passes so that the rest of us can't get them. So that's the number one thing that Niantic needs to change, and they can do it now, is cycle out where you're giving out the EX passes. Like, okay, cool. Yes, again, I understand. Those sponsored places give you money. But consider like shaking it up a little more. At least throw these spoofers off their game, because they have you figured out.
Yeah, and basically, you know, the lobbies in those matches are completely full of spoofers. So, and you know, they're saying that, of course, another thing that you see is a lot of gyms constantly filled with fake accounts. It's only, you know, honestly, in my opinion, it's only going to get worse when you can actually trade Pokemon. Can you imagine that? Because now you can have just accounts that are disposable.
I think that's why they've been dragging their fucking feet on that rollout.
Yeah.
ActDeft in chat says at live.vognetwork.com, you kind of have to manipulate gyms and stuff. We don't have sponsored gyms in Mexico at all, and people manage to get those EX rates. Well, I would imagine because you don't have the sponsored stuff, your parks are becoming those locations. Am I wrong? Like, they're coming up with some type of alternate location, and if I'm right in that, that's actually probably better than what we have, at least where I live. You know, okay, yes, there are Sprint and Starbucks stuff, but it's on the other side of town, and I'm lazy, and rush hour, and the raids end by like 7:30, 8 o'clock, so if I don't go there during rush hour, I'm screwed. Anyway. Let's see. Phantasm Chat says, I love New York City. When I was there at any Starbucks nearby, they were so busy, the Wi-Fi was so slow. So, I mean... Was it all Pokemon players trying to get on the local gym? I don't know. All right. Anyway, let's talk about a game that a lot of people are looking forward to, and that is the Avengers Project that's coming.
Oh, yeah. I forgot all about that.
Yeah, right? Remember they announced it at E3?
I was excited. I'm still excited, but I need to see what it is. And
well, this might make you more excited, actually. You may or may not have heard that Sean Esgeg, I hope I said that right, he was with Naughty Dog and worked on Uncharted and The Last of Us. He joined this team at the beginning of the year. And then just this past week, Stephen Berry from EA Visceral, who worked on Dead Space, and some other staff who've collectively worked on Batman Arkham Origins and Star Wars Battlefront, And Crystal Dynamics, in a statement about, you know, boasting all this new talent, says their AAA experience adds to an already deep roster, making us well positioned to deliver on the ambitious goals we've set for ourselves with the Avengers project. It's a stellar addition of many people who fit incredibly well into our wheelhouse of building game experiences we all love. So this Marvel game is shaping up to be something pretty big, and I imagine this is going to be talk of the town at E3 this year. This is probably going to be one of the biggest titles at E3 this year.
I hope so. Yeah. I'm a big fan of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So
There is a new Avengers movie this year, right?
There's one in May.
So there you go. So I don't think...
Infinity Wars, where it's like fucking everything. Just throw the sink kitchen in there. It's just...
So maybe the game won't be out by May, because I would think that they would have had to start the ball rolling on that
by
now.
Well, they still have like stuff after this movie.
Oh, sure.
Still, like,
well, yeah.
Well,
there's a second part to Infinity War. I'm well aware of that. And there's always timing this with the Blu-ray release. So, you know, it doesn't have to come out date and day with the movie. So, it's shaping up to be big. I'm excited to see E3. I think that's going to be the big, big game this year. We'll see. And, didn't we hear rumblings of a third Tomb Raider game? There were rumors and stuff, did they pass it off to another studio, or what was the deal with that? I seem
to
remember.
There may be. I mean, I know there's a Tomb Raider movie that's coming out. Isn't that this year? That should be this year.
I think that's this year too. Yeah.
Maybe we'll see an announcement around E3.
Yeah. Oh, that'll be another big thing to reveal at E3. We'll see.
Yeah.
All right, just another story here before we get to the classic game of the week, which sadly Jamie's not here to do it this week, but I stole it in her place, as I tend to do. Loki.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about Xbox Game Pass, in case you forgot what that was. It's a service that you can pay money to each month, and you basically get access to over 100 different games. Kind of think of it a little bit like that PlayStation Now, where you can stream stuff, except this also has Xbox. I mean, I guess PlayStation Now also has like PlayStation 4 games as well. I don't know. I don't subscribe to it because I think it's a terrible service. But now the Xbox One.
Well, but they want you to subscribe to it.
Well, know what? I might be more open to subscribing to it if they fucking added backwards compatibility. You know, whereas Microsoft is actually, you know, doing that quite often and adding new games every month. So, you know what? I would give them more of the benefit of the doubt of the streaming service than I would
To be fair, isn't a big, big chunk of the collection PlayStation 3 games, though? I mean, that's backwards compatible. You want it to go all the way back to PS2 and PS1.
I want to be able to pop a disc into my system and just play it if I want to, is what I want. Is that so much to ask?
Let's come back to this topic later in the show.
Yes.
Yes, anyway.
So anyways, so now they're saying that with this service, before it was, you know, pretty much Xbox 360 games and stuff like that, now they're saying that they're going to even add new exclusive Xbox games that are going to be coming out day and date with their releases. So, for example, Crackdown 3, they show Sea of Thieves and State of Decay 2 as some titles that will be available on the service the same time that they're released. So that's pretty awesome. So basically, I guess it looks like, 6 month subscription to the service is about $60. So $10 a month isn't bad, especially if you're like into renting games and stuff. That's pretty awesome. I mean, if I had an Xbox One and I was into just playing kind of a little bit of everything, that might not be a bad option. But I'm just going to get Crackdown 3 when it comes out on PC. So
Microsoft's really trying to push to, Sony's vulnerable right now with their PlayStation Network kind of flopping a lot this past week, too. Microsoft's going to try to seize the moment. They have to.
Like, if I had to go back and pick whether I got a PlayStation 4 or an Xbox One, I might have gone with an Xbox One.
Really?
And I like PlayStation VR, so that's a thing. But honestly, like, they've had better mod support in their games. They've had, you know, as far as the games coming out multi-platform and stuff, it seems like that they have more features or play better on the Xbox One. So
I do. I have to give Microsoft kudos. I love the way they've handled backwards compatibility. I really do. And, it's not perfect because the game rollout has been slower, but it's really, really better than what's going on at Sony right now.
Well, just like saying, you know, getting into other... Well, we're going to get into it later, but, like, if it's that easy... Why aren't you? It's clearly you're trying to monetize it. You're trying to make money off of it. And so it's like, come on. This is ridiculous.
Kaijudo in chat says, PSN isn't flopping. You live in some kind of Trump Earth 2. Okay, hold on, because I am not fucking standing for that comparison, first of all. So I am live going right now to Google News, which hopefully is truthy enough for you. And I'm going to Google PlayStation Network. Oh, here we go. Top result 9 hours ago. PlayStation Network is having issues again.
It has been down recently quite a bit from what I hear.
So let's see. What else do we have here? Some other headlines here. PlayStation Network hit with server issues for several days. PlayStation Network update for PlayStation 4 users playing Fortnite and Overwatch. PSN status down. So on and so on. So you can miss me with that comment. Thank you very much. All right. Anyhow, let's go back. Let's go back to when times were a little simpler. We didn't even have to worry about online stuff. We didn't have to worry about online games. You know why? Because you had to go to an arcade to play them.
And those arcade games weren't online either.
That's right. They were never down.
Well, let's not go that far.
That's true. Sometimes they were down. It's the classic game of the week, where we're going to step into the gaming vault and pick out a game that we think, hey, this deserves a little bit of your respect this week. And for what it's worth, this is something you can play on Sony PlayStation and download it from the store. It's in the Arcade Archives. And you can check out a classic game called Bomb Jack. That's what I've picked for the classic game this week. A little bit of the noise there from the arcade version of Bomb Jack. Bomb Jack was released in 1984. It was released by a company called Tekken, not to be confused with Tekken, but they actually changed the name of this company a little later on to be Tecmo. So you probably heard of Tecmo, and this ended up in one of the Tecmo collections, I think, that showed up on like Xbox and stuff later on. So anyway, what is Bomb Jack? Basically, you in this game, you're kind of like, I would say like a floaty Pac-Man is the best way to describe Bomb Jack. It's like Pac-Man with gravity. But it's like you kind of float as you're like the princess from Super Mario Brothers 2. More like Luigi in the way that he slowly kind of jumps and can kind of hang at the top. That's what Bomb Jack does. He does high jumps, he floats in the air. And what you got to do in this game, you collect the red bombs on the screen, and you got to avoid the birds and the mummies. I don't know why birds and mummies are the enemies, but there you go. And they can morph into things like flying saucers, and if you touch them, you die. But if you get a power coin, as the player there did, because you heard the little wah wah little noise, you can actually destroy these things. It's very similar to when you eat a power pellet in Pac-Man.
So what's up with like the pyramids and stuff in the background there?
That's just the aesthetic.
The aesthetic
of the background, yeah. If you collect the bombs in a certain order, you will fill up the meter faster and get that P a little faster. You can also get a bonus coin, an extra life coin, and a special coin, which gives you a free game. So as you can imagine, that one is not very common. It was ported everywhere to a variety of different systems. And that's actually where I know this game from, because, of course, my childhood, Commodore 64. There was a version of this on the Commodore 64. Now, here's the thing I want to talk about with Commodore 64 for a minute. So you hear the music in this game, right? It's all like cutesy, right? And see, this level doesn't have the ancient Egypt. It's got like an old castle type aesthetic. So they kind of change. Well, here's the thing. The music on the Commodore 64 was completely different, and it was awesome. Here's the music from the Commodore 64 version of the game. Got it. Oh man, that sweet sounds of the Commodore 64, like, it's just amazing. So yeah, like I like that song a lot better. Which, by the way, this song was an actual song from the 80s that somebody made, I guess, to be in Bomb Jack. It was kind of like a licensed song for the Commodore 64. But the song is a little bit obscure, unless you really follow electronic music. I know this guy is really big in his industry. His name, and I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly, his name is Jean-Michel Jarre, I think is how you pronounce his name. It was a song called Magnetic Fields Part 2. And here's that song. Right? It's the same song. But this song is from 1981, and it fucking sounds like it, right? There's no lyrics or anything. This is the that kind of song. Anyway, I don't want to play too much of that song because I don't want to get sued. So we'll go back to the sweet Commodore 64 version of that song while I talk about some of the other ports of the game. For example, in 1985, it was on the Sega SG-1000. 86 saw a release on the Spectrum, the ZX Spectrum. It was also on the Amstrad. It was on the Atari ST, the Amiga, the Game Boy in 92. And then it kind of started showing up in retro collections. It was on the MSX. That was an unofficial homebrew. PlayStation 2 had Tecmo Hit Paradise. Xbox had Tecmo Classic Arcade. It was on the Wii Virtual Console. In 2007, the NES version of the game was, and the arcade version came out when the Wii Virtual Console started doing arcades. It's on the 3DS Virtual Console, the NES version anyway, and all the way up to 2014 when the PlayStation 4 port came out, and then Wii U Virtual Console as well. Lastly, in 2017, finally the iPhone got a version of this as well. So, yeah, it's a classic game that's come back a lot in some of these retro collections. Some people may know this from Mighty Bomb Jack. That was an NES game and a arcade game that came out in 86. I do want to stress that game was, it was similar in how the bomb guy kind of flew around and collected bombs, or people thought they were cherries in the NES version because they kind of didn't look like bombs. But it was more of a side-scroller in Mighty Bomb Jack. It wasn't that way in the original Bomb Jack. The original Bomb Jack had the static screens. And the reason why I picked Bomb Jack over Mighty Bomb Jack is that A, I kind of think it was a better game. B, this sweet, sweet music from my Commodore 64. There you go. Bomb Jack, your classic game of the week. Did you ever play that, Loki, on any of those millions of...
I don't remember that, no.
Phantaz in chat says, this song sounds ahead of its time. Dude, seriously, Commodore 64 stuff, like a lot of it was. Just go to YouTube and just Google, like, best Commodore 64 soundtrack, and you'll get, like, a whole bunch of, like, Commodore 64 game stuff that was just amazing. In fact, ooh, I should play something during the break tonight. let's see. Also, Tiger Claw in chat says, it's interesting how much video game music has influenced electronic dance music these days. That is an interesting observation, how it's come full circle. You know, the electronic dance music probably influenced the early video game music, and still does, I'm sure. But now it's going the other way as well. You're absolutely right. Is that video game music, like, you hear video games sometimes get sampled in, you know, pop and electronic stuff, which is pretty cool. So, yeah. Yeah, Phantaz in chat says, I was watching a DJ called Zed. He's a pretty well-known guy. Drop Zelda, and everyone was cheering. Some guy, I don't remember the guy's name. Maybe one of you guys that follows electronic music better than I do knows. Some guy played Look to the Sky from DDR during his set. I remember that came up on the show about a year ago or so, and everybody was, woo, because, you know, like a DDR song. It's pretty cool. So, anyway. That's going to do it for this segment of Orange Lounge Radio, but we'll be back after a quick break. We got plenty more Orange Lounge Radio to come, including a store where you buy video games from. Might not be there in a couple months. We'll talk a little bit about that, and we'll talk about an interesting new patent from Sony and more when we come back after this break with more of Orange Lounge Radio. Welcome back, everybody, to Orange Lounge Radio live tonight, episode number 716 of our show in progress here for January the 28th of 2018. You missed some DDR talk at the top of the show if you're just joining us live. Loki got a DDR machine, if you can believe it.
Yes.
And I went to a fun tournament yesterday, which we had talked about last week on the show, that felt like going to a high school reunion, but like the one I wanted to go to. So anyway, we're going to get back into some more news that we have yet to cover, and we'll start off with some rapid-fire news. Loki.
Yes, so unfortunately, and this is kind of not the whole shocking being that they've, you know, had talked about bankruptcy not too long ago, but court documents have been filed regarding Toys R Us, and as part of their Chapter 11 bankruptcy reorganization plan, they're going to be closing 182 Toys R Us locations across 40 states. Now, however, this is Toys R Us and Babies R Us as well, so they are including the Baby R Us locations as well. And thankfully, at least in this neck of the woods, it's only a Babies R Us, so whatevs.
Yeah, your babies are grown up. You don't care anymore.
We went there before, but whatever. And, like, most of the Toys R Us nowadays, they have, like, a section that is Babies R Us.
Yeah, I was going to say, Toys R Us, like, every Toys R Us I've been to, like, the whole back corner is, like, the baby section. And,
so, it's, you know. Yeah, I mean, it's disappointing to see all this stuff closing, but...
Now, somebody asked me on Twitter, just so you know, because we've talked about it on the show. When Shane was here, we talked about our adventure to the Toys R Us that's 2 hours away that has still has the paper slips to get video games. Remember that?
Yeah.
And somebody asked me on Twitter, is that on the list? Did that one close? No, it is still going to be open and hopefully still going to make you take paper slips up to the front to get the games that you need.
Yeah, like
just like the old
ironically
days.
Like I go to Toys R Us quite often because it's just it's nearby and the kids like looking at stuff, so it's still very, you know, it's always busy when I go in there. It's never like, you know, not busy. I mean, I'm sure that they've been impacted a bit by, you know, other retailers and stuff, but you know, honestly, think about it. Like, how many big toy stores are there? I mean, there's department stores. So you have, like, toy stores and stuff in, like, you know, Targets and Walmarts and stuff like that. But there's not really any big toy stores anymore. They're the only ones.
But I do think the Target and the Walmart toy sections are what's doing them in more than, like, Amazon. I really do. I think it's those. And to some extent, I mean, I know this is very minor, but there's a lot of toys and board games and stuff you can get at, like, Walgreens. And drugstores almost always have a toy aisle, right?
I guess, well, those are, like, kind of discounted closeout stuff.
I guess that's true. I think it's probably more the Targets and the Walmarts than anything.
And it's also people buying smarter, because nowadays, like, if you're looking for something, you know, like I do a lot of the Lego stuff, I look at there's, like, whole subreddits and stuff to like, deals that are going on. So it's easy to find, okay, I want to get this set. Who has it on sale, you know, right now? Oh, Walmart has it on sale, so I'm going to go get it over there. Or there's ways to check inventory and stuff. But Toys R Us, you know, they do have a lot of stuff that you might not necessarily find at those locations. Like, you know, they have a larger variety of toys that are available, whereas those, you know, Targets and Walmarts don't carry everything.
Yeah. In chat at live.vognetwork.com, Rockhat says, I love going to Toys R Us all the time. Yeah, you know, the whole way that 2 hour away from here Toys R Us story came up is because, you know, Shane, as one of the hosts of Ranger Pride, which I know has been on hiatus for a little bit, but hopefully it's coming back soon, he loves to collect the Power Ranger toys, and so he'd have to go to like all the Toys R Us in the areas. So sometimes I would join him because I'd be like, oh, well, I could play Ingress or Pokemon and, you know, go to some new places. Or heck, in the case of driving all the way up to Chico to go to Toys R Us, I'm gonna go to Hula's Mongolian Barbecue, which is like the most amazing Mongolian barbecue, but it's all the way up there, so I find a reason to tag along, right? So, you know, that would...
Oh,
but
man, I haven't had Mongolian barbecue in a long time. That sounds really good.
Yeah, so... it was kind of like, the toys are... The toy part's cool, but I'm tagging along for the food. And the uniques.
God, I remember, like... I remember being a kid and just like, oh, yeah, we're going to go to Toys R Us. And it's like such the event.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Shit. You know, like.
Well, and Rockhat again in chat is referencing, I remember seeing the World of Nintendo back in my early years. Well, they used to do all that. Remember, like, wasn't it like Nickelodeon did a sweepstakes back in the day where it was like you would have like, what was it like? What do they call that shit? Like the shop till you drop or I don't know. But it was something like you had like 2 minutes in a Toys R Us, or maybe it was a KB.
No, it was a Toys R Us.
Was it Toys R Us?
Yeah, it was Toys R Us.
And it was like, just fill that car. It was like you were on Supermarket Sweep, but a toy store.
Yeah.
And it was like the contest everybody wanted to win.
Yeah, they were, and there, and it's funny that you mentioned that, because also Reddit, there was an AMA that happened a while back where they had an AMA for someone that was a winner of that contest, and like about what happened and how that went down. And
God bless Reddit getting the stuff that people really wanted to know.
It's awesome. Like, they talked about it, like, I guess, like, beforehand, like, obviously they filmed everything, but beforehand, like, they would walk them around the store, like, to show them, like, where stuff was. Like, and they wouldn't, like, have to necessarily get big things. Like, they can just kind of tag that they wanted to get that. Because, obviously, they're not going to be able to load, like, stuff in their cart. But, like, yeah, it was...
They can't throw hams in the shopping cart like they do on Supermarket Sweep. Which, by the way, is still, like, in the top three of, like, all-time best game shows.
That is, like, one of my guilty pleasure shows.
That's one of the... Which is... Okay. I know this is rapid-fire news, but the show's running shorter tonight. So, guess what? Coming up to the straight station. Choo-choo, tangent train. Choo-choo.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. One of my favorite things to watch on Twitch lately, I am obsessed.com. I don't think I've talked about this on the show. I am obsessed.com with Buzzer on Twitch.
What's that?
B-U-Z-Z-R. And all they do all day long on Twitch, apparently they are also a digital channel. Because you know how like when all the TV stations went from like analog to digital, mm-hmm. like there all these new networks showed up. But it's bullshit nobody watches. Like, yeah. Except maybe, like, okay, maybe you have, like, a grandma that watches the digital network that shows reruns from the 50s and 60s of obscure TV shows, like, all the time. Because this is stuff grandma remembers, right?
Yeah.
Those types of things. Well, one of these digital expansions is a network called Buzzr that shows old game shows. It's owned by Fremantle Media, who did a lot of those old game shows. So they have a selection. It's most of those that they actually play on Twitch. Now, the only read I'm going to give Twitch is that it's very obvious they run the same five-hour block over and over for a few days and then switch it out. But it is still very nice to be able to come home from work, plop on the couch, fire up the Xbox 360, and watch on Buzzr old episodes of The Match Game with Brett Summers and Charles Nelson Reilly. Although lately all the episodes they've been showing have had the guy that was Radar and MASH instead of Charles Nelson Reilly, because he was filming a movie or something, so he was gone for a little while. But anyway, my point is, I fucking love watching old game shows right now, and my understanding is Buzzr Over the Air just got Supermarket Sweep. And that's, like, got to be my top three, like, of all-time game shows.
It was one of those shows, like, you know, where you would be homesick from school or something. I think it was more of, like, from school, and it's like, the shit that you would watch on TV that you would never normally see because
today is Price is Right Day.
It's like Price is Right. It's just like all this, like, you know, what was it? The People's Court, you know, Supermarket Sweep, all that, the game shows.
You know, someday when I'm inevitably gone and away from this earth, I want people to remember this. One of the best highlights of my life, my entire fucking life, was the day I got to go see The Price is Right done live. No, sadly, they didn't call me down on stage. I guess I just wasn't, you know, I was nervous or something. But we did get to see, we saw two episodes of The Price is Right because it was a Monday. And we saw one and they were like, we need to fill up our audience for the second one. Who wants to stay? We do. But for the first episode, which was hosted by Bob Barker, I got to sit, which all in itself, I got to see Bob Barker host a game show. I mean, that there, yeah. Which, check that off the bucket list, right? But I also got to sit right behind Rod Roddy, rest in peace, right? The infamous announcer of The Price is Right for many, many, many years. I got to sit right behind him in that jacket because, you know, he dressed like Liberace. He never wore anything.
Yeah.
He always wore a Say Something outfit. And that jacket was sparkling in my face. It was legit. So I just want everybody to remember, like, what were, like, the greatest memories of Rob's life? The day I got to go see The Price is Right. Two episodes. Anyway. I love an excuse to talk about old game shows here on Orange Lounge Radio. It's a secret, not so secret vice of mine.
When the hell is, you know, when are we getting Starcade back again? Wasn't that supposed to be something?
That was supposed to be a thing.
When's that coming back?
I haven't heard.
Yeah, fine.
Come on, Nolgus in chat at live.vognetwork.com says, Buzzr, I hardly knew her. That's Buzzr. There's no E in it. That's the way they do the network.
So anyway. This is a thing that I never thought I would have to read before, but apparently someone got the idea that, hey, let's make a Duke Nukem movie, which I'm for that because Duke Nukem is trash and it's going to be a trash movie, so I'm down with it. So who they decide that they're thinking about casting?
You know what? If they can do Battleship, let them fucking do Duke Nukem. I don't give a fuck anymore. Clue reboot? What? Nothing's going to damage me anymore. Fuck up all the old video games. I don't give a shit.
Honestly, you can't fuck up the series any more than Duke Nukem Forever did. So they've Good already point. Hit rock bottom.
Good it, point. It can only it go only up. It only goes up from here. It's it only goes up from up. Here.
So
do you think she's going to jump? Duke Nukem Forever releases. I'm referencing a new
so
movie.
So they have John Cena as Duke Nukem. I can't see it, but I don't care because who gives a shit? And who would be producing this? But, of course, Michael Bay's production company, Platinum Dunes. So, Michael Bay movie starring John Cena with Duke Nukem. I'm there. Button seat. Yes.
There's extra, and then there's straight bro guy extra. And this is straight bro guy extra, which in some ways is more extra than the premiere of RuPaul's Drag
there's
Race
no,
All-Stars 3.
There's no plot. It's guys shouting out one-liners. You know, saving strippers and killing aliens. Who cares? It's going to be fucking awesome.
I'm sorry. I'm just laughing at the whole concept. This is extra for straight men. This is exactly what it is. John Cena in a Duke Nukem movie produced by Michael Bay. Like, did somebody made this up? This has to be made up. This can't be real.
You can't get more American than that.
Act Deft in chat says, you do know John Cena is family friendly, right? Well, so was Elizabeth Berkley when she was on Saved by the Bell. Just
and
saying.
You know what? And that's cool that John Cena is family friendly. I'm willing, you know, as much as I hate him, I'm willing to even have Mark Wahlberg reprise, like,
no!
Or something like that.
He just ruined everything.
He was all right in Pain and Gain. I mean, so he can buff up, you know, to, like, Duke Nukem. Or
in The Happening, he ran away from wind.
Okay. To be fair, yes, Mark Wahlberg is terrible. Mark Wahlberg didn't write, direct that movie. He was just a participant.
Anyhow.
And the new M. Night Shyamalan is better than old M. Night Shyamalan nowadays, so I don't know. I mean, granted, he has, like, you know, he has the blocked out face for that, but yeah, I would be, it would be better if they could get someone that would do more of, what's his name? Was it John St. John, or what's the guy's name? The guy that does actual Duke Nukem's voice.
Oh, yeah, I think it's like John St. John or something like that. Yeah.
And get him to do it.
Sadly, they never pick the actual voice actors. It's like when they do a Mario movie, inevitably, which, you know, seems like more and more is going to happen, like an animated Mario movie, they're not going to get Charles Martinet to do the voice, which is unfortunate. Yeah. He might get to do a cameo somewhere. Like, he might play, like, Mario's dad or something, but he's not going to be Mario's voice. They're going to get fucking Ryan Reynolds or something along those lines.
It's getting fucking weird, Danny DeVito.
I'm just saying.
Hey, if
we can't get him to be Detective Pikachu, then we might as well get Danny DeVito to be Mario.
Maybe
I'm
Wario or something. Like, I don't care.
My God. Danny DeVito is Wario? Fanfic. Sign me up. Make it happen.
You can play anybody. I don't care. Just cast him as somebody. Princess Peach? I don't care. That's fine. Just anybody. I just get him in.
No, I think Danny DeVito as Wario makes a lot of sense. It really does. Oh, my God. Anyway. Hey, remember when we talked about, like, actual video game news on this program? Let's talk about a new trailer for Soul Calibur 6 that was released this week. Speaking of a series that I hope is on the ups coming up with this new game, Soul Calibur 6 revealed some new characters. Returning characters Nightmare, Shanghua, and Killick will be confirmed for Soul Calibur 6. No big surprise there because all those characters were pretty well received in the early Soul Calibur games. There's also a new person, Groh. Is the name, or Groh? G-R-O-H. How would you say that? I say Groh, but that isn't, is Groh, maybe?
Yeah, it sounds like Groh.
Groh. Yeah, maybe you have to say it with an edge or something like that. But anyway, Groh looks like he wears the power glove on his arm. Groh is basically like kind of like Doomfist with a sword and more armor. So there you go. Also of note, we have more talent news, and this one's about Square Enix. A pretty big name going over to Square Enix. Yuji Naka has joined Square Enix. He has mentioned that on his Twitter. He said, just a quick note to let you know, I joined Square Enix in January. I'm joining game development as before and strive to develop games at Square Enix. I aim to develop an enjoyable game. Please look forward to it. And if the name Yuji Naka does not sound familiar, it should, because he made Sonic the Hedgehog. He was one of three people that made Sonic the Hedgehog. So who knows? Maybe they're releasing a Final Fantasy spinoff where the bros drive a car and it's got to go fast. No, I have no idea. Or hopefully just doing something new over at Square Enix. That would be exciting too, a new IP. So
he found the way to Square Enix?
He did. He sure did. By the way, it should be pointed out, Yuji Naka, he's known for Sonic, but he did work as a programmer on Alex Kidd and Miracle World. And Phantasy Star. He was a lead on Sonic the Hedgehog until his departure in 2006. So maybe that's the reason.
So, Karen, what do you do when you're not?
Hello,
talking.
Fucking autoplay.
Ghosts.
On the article I'm referencing. Rude. All right. Let's travel around the world and check out what's in stores this week. Loki.
There's a few things. So actually this week we've got Dissida Final Fantasy NT coming to PlayStation 4.
I didn't understand the demo at all.
Bad demo? Well, I guess Bobby's not picking
that up. I don't want to say it was like Ni No Kuni bad demo, but it was just like one of those, I didn't get it. I misunderstood the assignment.
I didn't get the first Dissida, so...
Bobby Blackwolf, did you play the Dissida demo?
I'll have to play
it. I don't think he did. Because if he did, I'd be hearing all about it on a show about how what a terrible game it is. He wouldn't be talking about Ni No Kuni anymore. he says he did play it. Wow.
Oh.
He says it wasn't as bad as Ni No Kuni, but I couldn't get the gameplay. All right, so he's in the same camp I am on that.
It's like they overcomplicated it. Just make Urgots again. Just, you know, with
Final
Fantasy
characters.
I was hoping
it was just going to be like a beat-em-up fighter game, like which another reason why I'm sad Jamie's not here tonight. I know Dragon Ball. I bet she skipped this show to go play Dragon Ball Fighters more. That's probably what it really is.
Yeah.
But, you know, why not just give me that with Final Fantasy characters? Like, seriously.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
All right.
There's a game called Skyforce Reloaded on the Nintendo Switch. EA Sports UFC 3 on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Gundamoniums on PlayStation 4 and Vita. Does that have anything to do with Gundam? It kind of sounds like it does. But it's a bullet hell shooter.
Hmm.
I have no idea what it's supposed to be. But apparently you can upload your stuff to YouTube, so that's kind of cool. And then, let's see. Finally, We Were Here Too for PC. That's it.
All right. Would you mind pulling up the UK stuff while I do?
I already did.
Awesome. Okay. I'm going to do Japan here real quick. Japan on the PlayStation 4 on February 1st gets their release of Dragon Ball FighterZ or FighterZ. I'm not sure which one you're supposed to say what it is. But I like FighterZ better. But that's coming out in Japan on February 1st. Just came out here a couple days ago. And that game Gundamoniums is also out in Japan. They're talking about that in chat right now. I think that is the same thing you were just referencing a moment ago. It has nothing to do with Gundam. It is like an indie shooter. I actually was – because I like the name Gundamonium, so I actually kind of pulled it up to see like more about it. It kind of looks like a bullet hell type thing, but maybe like – it almost kind of looks like a newer Cotton type of game. Like I'd be really curious if Jamie's into this because the way – like with the girl flying with the gun, it kind of looks like Cotton on the broom. So I got to show this to Jamie. Man, miss a week, miss a lot. That's like the third time. I'm like, Jamie really needed to see that tonight. Hopefully she'll listen to this week's show. Also in the next few days, EA Sports UFC 3 gets its Japanese release. That is worth pointing out as well. Gundamonium's also making its way to the Vita this week, and that's the lone Vita release. We do have in Japan on the Switch, Elder Scrolls V Skyrim gets its Japanese release on February 1st, Lego Marvel Super Heroes 2, also its Japanese release on February 1st. And that is it for the Nintendo Switch. Just quickly, lastly, checking here to see if anything is on the 3DS this week. No, we don't see anything for the 3DS in Japan really for quite a while. March 15th is the next like big major release. So I think the 3DS is really slowing down. How about the UK, Loki?
Okay, UK, we've got a game called Candleman coming out on PC, Final Fantasy XII, The Zodiac Age, also on PC, and Steam World Dig on the Switch. And then later on, we've got, looks like, actually, it looks like that's it. I thought there would be more. I'm sorely disappointed.
All right. Well, usually the Europe, I think our Europe list only covers the big stuff. It kind of misses a lot of the indie stuff. So usually it's a little shorter over there. Anyway, this is the part of the show where I would usually go to the mailbag, but unfortunately, it's empty. Womp womp. No emails this week. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com if you want to send us an email for a future week. But for now, I guess we will move on with some more news, won't we, Loki?
Yeah, so I'm kind of excited about this. So apparently there's a new Sony patent that shows a possible upgrade to the PlayStation Move controller that they're going to be doing more of like a VR-related kind of update to it. So with that, they're saying that there's going to be some finger tracking technology as well. Also, they were saying that there looks like something that's like... you know, the Move controller, but they've got, like, an analog stick and some face buttons that look a little bit different. I don't know. It kind of looks like a trigger similar to, I don't know. It doesn't really look like a Vive controller or anything. It's definitely different. So as long as it's better than the Move controller, I'm all down with that. One thing I don't see, though, on this, based on the picture of those, I don't see the glowing... ball in the end. So how they're going to use the tracking with that, I don't see anything in this patent referencing the camera either. So I'd be curious to see how it would work tracking the position of that. So I gotta buy a whole nother setup of stuff for that. Hey, as long as it works better, I don't fucking care. Because that's really one of the worst things about the PlayStation VR is those Move controllers are fucking old and they don't work very well.
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody was really happy when it's like, oh, these old accessories I got from my PlayStation 3 are going to be beneficial now on VR. And now the reality of the whole, oops, it's 10 years old technology at this point.
I'm wondering if they'll get rid of the camera and maybe do something similar to like the beacons that they have for like the Vive and stuff like that. So it'll track it that way. I mean, I can't imagine. I don't know how it would work then. Based on this picture,
do you think Sony's plotting another version of their VR headset? Do you think it's successful enough to plan a version 2 that
probably
would maybe bring some of this?
They might redesign it a little bit. I don't know if they're going to really, they can't really bump up the specs too much, I would think, because it's really based on the system it's running on. And I do need like a PlayStation 4 Pro if I'm going to, you know, really get into it, but we'll see.
I still need to pick up PlayStation VR. I've been kind of sleeping on that too long, but.
They have a lot of bundles nowadays. You can get one with Skyrim VR in it.
Nice. Yeah. I'll check that out. I hear Skyrim VR is pretty neat.
It's pretty cool. Yeah. I just had picked up Skyrim again. So, like, I was like, I don't really want to spend another $60 on Skyrim. I'll wait for it to get on sale, and then I'll pick it up.
All right, well, let's keep talking about PlayStation here and now finally address what we were kind of referencing a bunch in the first half of the show, and that is, yep, hacker's going to hack. Homebrew's going to homebrew. Here's the deal. So PlayStation 4, hackers and modders have managed to find how to get games running in the PlayStation 4 without legally owning them. This is done with something called PS4 Hen and other modded software that lets the console read backed up games and so forth. Sony's been releasing new PS4 firmware updates to plug these holes. But the reason why I wouldn't usually bring that up, because you should support games and buy games, and I'm not here to tell you how to pirate them, and I'm only mentioning that because Sony's plugging it up anyway. Here's why I'm bringing it up, is because a new tool from all this apparently allows you to play a backed up PlayStation 2 game on your PlayStation 4. It's called PS2 Pub Gen, and it's based on work that was done by another modder, and it was using that same exploit that uses the PlayStation 4 games. That's why this all comes together. And so via Twitter, it was mentioned that they were able to get PlayStation 2 games running like Shinobi and Klonoa 2 on the PlayStation 4. Klonoa 2 is of special note because that did not work on the PlayStation 3. So the PlayStation 4's PS2 emulator seems to be better, although that could just...
Although we'll never know because...
We'll never know. So anyway, long story short, basically, hackers have just shown that, yes, you can load. I mean, they're backups, and they're definitely of a legal bad area. But the reality is you can play PlayStation 2 games on PlayStation 4. This just proves it. I mean, we kind of already knew it because of the PlayStation 2 games that they sell on PlayStation 4 in the store. But this shows that it can be run from a backup, and essentially you can play, you know, other games that aren't necessarily for sale in the store. So... what gives, Sony? Hackers beat you to it.
What
so now you can no longer say the system's not capable of doing it. Well, I don't know if Sony really did say it.
They've
always just sidestepped the question. Oh, it's not something. It's a real minority of gamers who are asking for that. That's always the
it's
line.
It's hard
that
to
comes
say
up.
That, though, when your competition's doing it quite a bit and they're offering that as some part of their service. So I don't know. That being said, though, like, I have a lot of PlayStation 2 games that I've gotten, like, in Humble Bundles and stuff. And I don't play any of them.
PlayStation 2?
Yeah.
In Humble Bundle?
Are
you sure you don't mean 3?
Maybe I mean 3.
I think you mean 3.
No, I do mean 2, actually.
How? Because Humble Bundle, PlayStation 2, there's no digital storefront there.
There's PSN. So they
not
have...
on the 2. PlayStation 2 is DVD.
Games, for some games, they have digital versions of them. Like,
where
I
would
have
you
no,
put it?
I've
there was
got...
no hard drive. There's no hard drive on PS2.
PlayStation 2 games that are on the PlayStation 4.
Oh!
Not PlayStation 2 as in like the old PlayStation 2. I'm talking
about... Oh, the hamster woke up. He's running in the wheel now. I get it.
No. Like, I got like... they did that for like the THQ games. So like Destroy All Humans, Red Faction, that kind of stuff. So I've got a bunch from that. I just don't necessarily... I don't play it too much.
Well, it's the same issue with Steam. I own 500 games, and I have nothing to play.
Yeah. It's exactly
or I'm going to go back to working on my DDR machine or playing Final Fantasy 14 or Pokemon Go or something.
Yeah.
I have nothing to play. All right, Loki, what's next for us?
All right. So this is kind of interesting. So Atari is asking people to invest in a roller coaster tycoon game for the Nintendo Switch. So they're calling it Roller Coaster Tycoon Switch. And this is apparently using a crowdfunding service called Start Engine. And they're saying that they're looking to, you know, you have to invest a certain amount of money when you get a certain amount of profits back from it. So it's actually revenue sharing. The only problem with that is, you know, a few things. One, they don't mention Roller Coaster Tycoon Worlds, which was a huge old flop that came out from them not too long ago. They do only mention their first few games and that they have a mobile game. And guess what this looks like a port of? Yep, it's the mobile game. So they're porting the mobile game to the Switch. And apparently there's other comments saying that regardless of how well this does in the crowdfunding, they're still going to bring it into the system. So why should I pay you money? I don't know. It honestly doesn't look that interesting, especially after the last Roller Coaster Tycoon game that came out. I don't really believe that they can make modern Roller Coaster Tycoon games.
And this is the same company that hopes to launch a new console real soon, huh?
Yeah, actually it is.
The Atari Box or whatever they were calling
it,
right?
Whatever the fuck that's supposed
yeah.
to be.
Yeah, so Atari, y'all. MXC in our chat at live.vognetwork.com says, this crowdfunding news annoys me a lot. The new Roller Coaster Tycoon is supposedly not a port, but it's by the same developers as the mobile game. Well, I don't have a problem with that.
But based on their screenshots, what they're showing as gameplay, it looked like the mobile version.
Yeah. Well, that's probably like their concept or whatever. Yikes. All right. Well, let's move on to talking about, speaking of old games, when I think Atari, I think of old games back when they were like, you know, in their prime. This is video game companies looking for an exemption to DMCA laws to preserve online video games. So what happened here is that a notice of proposed rulemaking was published on October 26th where the Copyright Office said they're going to be recommending that the existing exemptions be readopted, and the Copyright Office began the public comment period. So one of the proposals that was published said, permitting circumvention by an eligible library, archives, or museum of TPMs protecting video games for which outside server support has been discontinued. Specifically, the Museum of Art and Digital Entertainment proposes expanding the existing exemption to further include multiplayer online games, video games with online multiplayer features, and massively multiplayer online games, whether stored physically or in downloadable formats, and to add preservationists affiliated with archival institutions as users. So all this news we've been talking about earlier in the show, Miitomo, Paragon, right? These games are things you're not going to be able to play at the end of the year because they're going away. So you will never be able to experience these games again unless A, hackers do something to allow you to kind of get back in, as they've done with, I think Star Wars Galaxy has some bootleg servers and stuff, right?
Or like Final Fantasy XI.
Well, technically, Final Fantasy XI still exists. Square's running it. Yeah, Square's running it still. On PC, they are.
Really? Not on, yeah. I thought they shut that down a while ago.
No, because they did on Xbox 360 and PlayStation 2, but it is still going on PC.
Really?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Check Steam. Still there. So... the maid wanted to try to preserve these other games, which makes sense. So they want this they want an exemption for the DMCA law, so that way they would not get in trouble for running basically bootleg servers to allow people to experience these old games. So maid has gone forth and talked about, you know, video games like Minecraft and Second Life will say as much about 21st century America as Dickens' Oliver Twist does about 19th century Britain. That is, if these games survive into the future. So, you know, the possibility that Minecraft could go away somehow. So they're asking the Register of Copyrights to recommend a modest expansion of the video game exemption adopted during the last rulemaking to allow for the preservation of abandoned video games that depend on external servers to function, online games or online video games. I mean, it certainly makes sense to me, and as somebody who's a gaming fan, obviously I really want to see this happen. I'll be really curious to see the response from the gaming companies. Is there going to be a gaming company out there who kind of files to object to this? And I just I just don't see who would want to do that and why, unless maybe they want to move their thing to mobile. Because when you talk about Final Fantasy XI, it does make me think, oh, they were going to do that mobile thing. That we
Atari.
In a couple
I don't know.
Years.
I'm just mad at Atari.
Just used to throw their name out
well, they,
there.
Well, they have done that in the past, like, you know, with, I want to say, because they were, people were, they're porting their games to, like, mobile or something. I don't know. Fuck Atari. I don't know. Konami. Who knows?
So I'll be very curious to see if any game company kind of petitions to stop this, but I kind of don't see it happening.
It's really, like, at that point, like, yeah. You made your money, I mean, to the point where you've shut down your server, so it's not like you're losing, I mean, I guess you guess competition, but honestly, how much is that really going to take away from yourself? Although, I mean, like, Blizzard did come down against the people that are running, like, the classic WoW stuff, but then again, WoW is running.
To turn around and do what?
To launch run the same thing.
Warcraft Classic or whatever they're calling
yeah, whatever.
It. That'll be out probably by the end of the year, I imagine.
So,
and
I
mean, it's going to suck. I'm telling everybody right now, Warcraft Classic's going to suck. Everybody's going to play it for a month and be like, God, this is a grind.
But there's going to be an audience because there were people that were playing it. So obviously they know.
Honestly, I can't wait for the people who complain all the time about Warcraft Classic to be gone from Modern WoW. Sorry, I know that makes me sound like a bitch, but it's just the reality. Like, a lot of those attitudes kind of need to go to Classic Island. That's another reason why I fully expect WoW Classic's going to be a dumpster fire. Like, sorry, it's my opinion.
Well, hopefully they'll learn or make some money out of it.
I just think Blizzard's burning money because people are going to play Warcraft Classic for like a month and then be like, God, this really was terrible.
God, why did I do this? I should really go buy all their expansions that they put out.
Yeah, maybe they were on to something when they did all these quality of life improvements and so on. What are the graphics going to be in WoW Classic? Because when WoW Classic first came out, we didn't have widescreen monitors.
They just don't have graphics.
So they're going to permissibly upgrade the graphics, and the purists will be okay with that, or what? Put bars on the side of the screen, or what's going to happen? These are the questions I want to know the answer to. Maybe we'll get some answers from Blizzard eventually. In the meantime, just a couple more stories, and then we're going to open up the Skype line at Orange Lounge Radio on Skype. Loki?
So you may remember that there was the whole backlash with the loot box situation with Star Wars Battlefront 2, and that some senators from various states were kind of getting involved with possibly making legislation to combat it. So one senator that's actually presenting a bill to this is actually a Washington state senator, and Senator Kevin Ranker is actually putting out a bill that basically to investigate whether that the randomized game or not randomized, whether or not the items are randomized or not in these different loot boxes and stuff, and whether it can qualify as gambling for children and other things. So they basically had, they're doing some investigation whether the mechanisms can be considered gambling under Washington law. Also, if the loot boxes in the games and stuff, if they are considered gambling, if minors should have access to them, and also if there's lack of disclosure and transparency with respect to the odds of receiving certain items and stuff like that. So they're conducting the research, and they're supposed to present their findings by December of this year, and at which time then they'll decide how to proceed from there. So thank you, EA, for getting that ball rolling.
Yeah, here come the judge.
They just, like, overstepped the line, and it's going to come back to bite you now.
I think this loot box scenario is going to look very different in a year's time. I've kind of been saying that.
I also think, though, that they're going to skirt around it somehow, though. You know, something you kind of like how they get around the gambling laws now by the fact you have to purchase another currency to purchase the loot boxes.
Yeah, I guess maybe. We'll see. We'll see. All right, one more story for you guys here tonight, and this is great news. Apparently, Hello Kitty Cruisers is going to be coming to the Switch. Yippee!
Yay! That game wasn't very good, but it's a Hello Kitty game.
Oh, is it something that's been out before? Was this on the Wii U?
This is on the Wii.
Version? Oh, it was on the Wii?
In the Wii U. Yeah,
it was on the Wii U.
Karting game.
Yeah. So, let's see. I finally got the story to pull up here. So, Hello Kitty obviously is like a Mario Kart type of knockoff game, but it's Hello Kitty and Friends! Through a partnership with Sanrio, blah-de-blah-de-blah, Hello Kitty video game titles to fans and new audiences Spring 2018 is when they're saying this will come out on the Switch in the U.S., Canada, and Latin America. So if you have not had the chance to experience Hello Kitty Cruisers, you will get that that opportunity. I suppose I could take this opportunity to also mention maybe a game a little more, a few more you are being probably interested in, and that's the Secret of Mana remake. So also talking about potentially the Nintendo Switch for that platform. We know the PlayStation 4, the Vita, yes, Vita, and the PC are getting the Secret of Mana remake. So why not the Nintendo Switch? Well, producer Masaru Omida made some comments about that. To kind of give background in terms of when the project started, it was about 2 years ago, and the Switch hadn't been announced. Once we had announced this particular remake title, we were very surprised to see the amount of demand and feedback we received for a potential Switch version. So the voices are heard. We're aware that people are desiring a Switch version, and we will make an effort to see what's feasible in the future, though nothing is confirmed or planned. So it probably has to do it. And you know what it's going to come down to? It's going to come down to how well does it sell on PlayStation 4 and PC and the other platforms. And that may sound weird because, well, but we want it on Switch. But the reality is they're going to need to pay those teams to port it over to the Switch.
Yeah, if it doesn't do well on a platform that has a larger audience, yep, then it's not worth porting it over.
That's just the reality of it. I know it doesn't logically make sense because there's going to be a lot of you that are like, well, shit, I'm just going to wait for it to come out on the Switch. I'm not going to buy it. But reality is probably not going to happen if it doesn't sell well enough on the other platforms. So get your friends to buy it on other platforms. Anyhow, the second Densetsu collection, by the way, you know that came out on the Switch, except we never got it here. Oimada also commented on this, saying, obviously our focus is on Secret of Mana since we're in the last part of its development, so obviously it's hard to definitely say yes, we will release it, but we've obviously heard of a lot of demands and requests for that game to be released in the West, and that's something we will do our best to hopefully achieve, but nothing at this moment in time. So he's doing a lot of this getting our hopes up shit. And maybe even Oimada also kind of wondered, like, are people over here going to get it because Second Densetsu 3 is linked to the Mana series because there was nothing outside? Dude, people will get it. It's fine. If Final Fantasy can be understood over here, you're going to be fine.
Yeah.
Anyway. Going to our chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Akuma JP said, did you know inside Hello Kitty was an old man? He has been the Hello Kitty costume character for 20 years. It doesn't surprise me. They made a whole documentary about the guy who did Elmo.
Apparently the guy that was wearing the costume for Barney is now a tantric massage therapist.
Yeah, so the people that are putting on the puppet show don't look like the puppets. That's even true with Hello Kitty.
They're all in the kinky sex things, so.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
All right. Anyway, Skype line's open. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. If you want to give us a call and talk about anything we've talked about tonight or maybe something else. I know it's a little early in the show. It ended up being a bit of a shorter show tonight, but without Jamie. And I know the Grammys are happening tonight, which I haven't watched the Grammys in like 20 years. I mean, most of that is thanks to this show being on Sunday nights. But I'm just like, did Meghan Trainor win a Grammy tonight? I think I saw a picture of her holding a Grammy. If she won a Grammy, that tells you all you need to know about why I don't watch the Grammys. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. I did hear Patti LuPone showed up, though. I would watch a YouTube of that. But it'll be on YouTube. I don't need to watch it live. All right. No last minute stories, huh?
Sure.
Oh, okay, yay.
So there's a...
Wait, we got a call. Oh. hold that thought, Loki. We're going to get to this call. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
What's up, everyone? It's Rama.
Hey, Rama. What's on your mind, buddy?
A lot of good stuff, but you say Grammys. I say WWE Royal Rumble, so that's where part of my priorities were tonight.
Is that also on tonight?
Yes.
See, this might surprise you, but that one I kind of get. Just like, I understand next week is the Super Bowl, and we're a little silly for doing a show anyway, but the reality is a big part of this audience listens on the podcast, so they're going to listen when it's convenient for them when there's no major award shows. So, and we hope the regular Sunday night people that opt to do the Super Bowl thing instead are going to listen to the show at their convenience through the podcast at some point throughout the week. So, you know, we're still going to be here doing our thing.
That will be me because I'll be going to a Fuck the Patriots party next week. So, you know, that's going to be a good times all around.
Yeah, you know what? You bring up a good point. Like, why do people care about the Super Bowl this time around? Especially, and keep in mind, Rama, I'm coming from a West Coast perspective. Mm-hmm. You have two teams, and I don't follow the NFL very closely, but my understanding is these two teams are not very well liked outside of their areas.
Pretty much. It's like next Sunday, all of America, except for the New England states, because we don't count them, will be rooting for the Philadelphia Eagles because, like the Red Sox,
they're not the Patriots.
That too, yeah.
Hey, look, yeah. I am a flaming homosexual man who doesn't care a lot about football, and even I understand that, Rama.
See, but I would have figured you'd be watching the Super Bowl for the tight ends.
Haha. No, usually I watch for the halftime concert. You know, the Beyonce concert with a featuring a football game. The Lady Gaga concert featuring a football game. I don't give a fuck about Justin Timberlake because
Okay, all right. I give you that. Please, I just don't be. I don't want to hear all the way in Sacktown you shouting "Yas Queen"
no.
all the way.
That is only going to happen if Janet Jackson takes her rightful place by his side on that stage. And if that doesn't happen, I don't give a fuck. I don't give one fuck, two fucks, red fucks, blue fucks, unless Janet Jackson gets her rightful place and her fucking apology from the NFL. I'm sorry, I'm on my fucking soapbox now. Janet Jackson deserves a fucking apology from the NFL, from CBS, from the entire fucking country owes Janet Jackson a huge apology.
Jesus Christ, what did I do? I think I just accidentally summoned Rob's inner sass. Holy shit.
I'm sorry. I'm on a bender tonight. What can I say?
No. It's all good because we all love it when you get sassy like that. We love it.
Well, thank you.
After you get sassy, we just hand you back you know, your crown and be like, here, sorry. We're sorry. We won't touch it again.
Rama, it was a titty. And everybody went fucking nuts. It was a titty.
Oh, I just remember what Chris Rock said about that. But that's a story for another time.
It's not like y'all ain't looking up titties anyway. She accidentally put one out there for free. And it was still covered by that weird fucking metal thing.
And you can't tell me that, like, who is it that there's been several costumes, like, even during these award shows where it's just, like, boob just fucking hanging out.
And Lil' Kim at the MTV yes. Awards. With, like, her outfit was her tit.
But the nipple wasn't showing. See, the nipple is the worst part.
But the nipple wasn't showing on Janet either.
It was in the middle.
Oh, is that where they are, Loki?
No. They had the thing over it, but it was pierced through that or something. I don't know.
She had the metal thing on. You couldn't even see it. We didn't even fucking have HD then. That's the thing.
I don't know.
It wasn't even HD.
That's the go back to what I was talking about earlier this week. So apparently I was going through my old computer stuff, and I have all my LiveJournal icons, and someone had made me a LiveJournal icon that was Janet Jackson's nipple thing with my name on it. And so, yes, it was there because it's blown up to a LiveJournal icon.
Okay, I don't remember her full nipple being on display, but even if it was.
It was on TV, and it was super. You had to, like, zoom in on that shit.
Go to a beach in France, for fuck's sake. God. Anyway, sorry, Rami. I know you didn't call in to talk about titties, but, you know.
Yeah, well, it's all good. I'm going to complain.
Wait, what's that?
It's all good, because, you know, I'm not going to complain.
All right. Sounds good. Wait, was there something actually video gaming related we were supposed to be talking about?
Yeah, I wanted to talk about a couple things out. The Duke Nukem movie. Okay, John St. John, the voice of Duke Nukem. Oh, he is thoroughly pissed. He has started a grassroots campaign to have somebody else play John Cena. Now, some people don't remember, but about a good 15, nearly 20 years ago, there was talk of a Duke Nukem movie right after Duke Nukem 3D. It was supposed to be with Brian Bondsworth. So, but as you can see, that kind of felt flat on its face.
Right. As a lot of movies never do get off the ground.
It is what it is. I mean, honestly, Cena has it all except for the personality. That's basically is it.
Unfortunately, I mean, this is the reality of, like, Hollywood, and I'm not saying it's right or wrong. It's just the way it is. John St. John doesn't have that name recognition that John Cena does. He will be lucky if he gets a cameo in the movie after this. He should hope for a cameo.
Basically.
And I'm not saying I agree with it. I'm just saying that's what happens in Hollywood. If you don't like it, don't see the movie.
Basically.
Yeah.
Now, about the whole streaming thing y'all talked about earlier. Mm-hmm. I tell you this, between different platforms, I find streaming to Facebook Live is like the easiest thing.
Really?
Webcam, fire it up, that's it. It's so easy. I mean, that's what a lot of people I see at conventions are doing. Like, they got their booth set up, they just fire Facebook Live and just run the stream. It's just that simple. You don't need any special software.
That's fair. The ease of doing it is certainly a big part of it.
Yeah. But there are a couple of websites out there where if you use them as the proxy and you program it, it'll stream to other streaming sites as well. Mm. Makes it a little easy, which I think is a great idea.
You know what's interesting, though? If you're a Twitch affiliate, you can't use stuff like that because the content you put on Twitch – I hope I'm not screwing up the agreement, but the content you put on Twitch has to be exclusive to Twitch for 24 hours. So you can still put your backups on YouTube the next day or whatever, but it has to be exclusive to Twitch for 24 hours. You can't do that multi-stream stuff. They do not bar you from using other streaming services. You can use Facebook and you can use Mixer. They're not going to, you know, that would be, I think a lot of people would have a problem with that if they were to close all your other doors. But you can't stream the same thing you're doing on Twitch to these other platforms. That's actually in their agreement. Just a thing you may not know about. Now, obviously, not everybody is an affiliate or a partner, but it does seem like they're letting more and more people get in on that affiliate program. So just something to consider.
You know what? I personally don't have a problem with that.
Rami, you're cutting out a little bit. All I heard was that I don't have a problem with it.
My bad. I guess let me turn off the porn torrents. I'm sorry.
Okay. Did you say the porn torrents?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
I mean, personally, I don't have a problem with waiting 24 hours because I go to conventions. Let's say I'm recording panels or a live stream or something like that, like the Masquerade. I'm not going to mess with the footage until I get back Monday or Tuesday. So by all means, enjoy it.
Yeah.
Hey.
And honestly, with Twitch, like if you want to watch stuff like the DDR tournament yesterday, it's not on YouTube yet, but just go to Dude's Twitch archive. It's all there. And people are even making clips already. And even when I was watching today, I accidentally hit that clip button. That's one thing I don't like about Twitch is that if you accidentally hit that clip button, then you just made like a garbage clip of somebody's feed. But anyway, my point is that you can watch that stuff on demand right away. And Bobby's pointing out another change that's happened to Twitch lately, saying, I'm ready to go full on Twitch at this point. Apparently, you can upload videos and debut them at a specific time on Twitch now and then have a group viewing party. That is true. Twitch is trying to kind of push into YouTube space there a little bit, but they're still trying to keep it live by like your new video debuts at this time. But if you're not super into that concept, you can set the debut time as like 30 minutes from after you upload it. I think the minimum is like on the half hour after you upload it.
I think that's pretty cool.
I do too. I think it's neat. It's a concept I may explore more. I gotta be careful what I promise I deliver, especially, you know, since I'm doing the three podcast thing. But obviously Twitch is something I do still definitely want to expand on when time permits.
I mean, it kind of makes your Twitch stream sort of like your own independent TV station, if you think about it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I haven't really played around with Twitch that much, but I got a couple of projects in the works. But right now, I may just stick with Facebook Live just to see how it works.
Sure.
But we'll see.
We'll see. Also, another thing with Twitch, if you're worried about the barrier to entry, you might want to check out, this was just released, Streamlabs just released their own version of Open Broadcast Studio, OBS, which is like the very popular streaming software. And a lot of people kind of find that software, it's not exactly the easiest thing in the world to use. So some people get intimidated by that. You have to kind of watch some tutorials to get the sense of it. But I think Streamlabs version has a lot of built-in stuff already. Now, my disclaimer, I actually haven't used this myself yet, but I'm curious to check it out because Streamlabs, they're the ones that are doing a lot of the overlays that people are already using. For example, when somebody clicks the subscribe button and I get that little GIF that comes up that says, you know, Rama, just subscribe to your station. So I can go, yay, thank you, Rama. You know, that is all from Streamlabs, is that basically you have to import Streamlabs' website into your feed to get that to display. Well, now that Streamlabs basically has its own studio software, it's all kind of integrated, so it's going to make that process, I think, easier for some people. So just to kind of piggyback on what you said about people are using Facebook because it's easier, some people are recognizing that about Twitch, that's a little more difficult to just jump in and do, so maybe some of those walls are going to come down.
Yeah, hopefully, because because if you're using something like Streamlabs or something like that, you have to have a decent power desktop, a laptop to use it, whereas with Facebook Live, I mean, I have a Surface 3 laptop, and I can, and that's an Atom processor. I can use that and just jump right on live and just rock and roll.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, Rama, I'm going to let you go because we've been on a call a little while, but I want to make sure we free it up for some other folks. But I hope everybody listens to Anime Jam Session, and thanks for calling, as always.
Hey, cool. No problem. Yo, you keep it real, bro.
All right. I always do. Take care, buddy.
You too. Bye.
Bye. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. Loki, you were starting to do a last-minute story, and I cut you off.
Yes. So there is this Kickstarter for an application called NES Maker. So basically, what is NES Maker? It's making NES games without coding.
We did bring this up on the show last week, just so you know. Sorry.
That's too bad, but it's awesome. And they've already hit their goal, and they're...
Oh, they hit their goal?
Yeah, they're way over their goal. They're 139,000 of their 32,000 goal. So the last time I checked this, their new goal was the Music Maker part of it, but they've hit like a bunch of stretch goals. Adventure module, platformer, RPG, brawler, and shooter modules have been
unlocked. Dude, that Music Maker is going to be awesome. You know, I kind of had to force myself to learn GarageBand because Victoria and I were like, where are we going to get an intro for our new show? And I was like, I really kind of want to get away from using existing songs. I'm like, how hard can GarageBand be? I said, Slagkick from Game Boy told me he made the intro to RAF in GarageBand. So how hard can GarageBand be? So, I actually like try to force myself to like learn how to use GarageBand and make loops. But what you may not know is that Victoria did the same thing, and the intro you're actually hearing to Shaking and Crying is the one she did. So it was better. I couldn't get away from it sounding like the stock footage thing. But anyway, the reason why I bring that up is that if they bring out an NES maker that's similar to like GarageBand and, you know, kind of putting stuff together, that could be really cool for people that want to do more chiptune stuff.
Yeah, I do want to check this out. It seems like a neat idea. I don't know. Yeah. I'm not interested necessarily in the module to actually dump it to a cart because I don't have an NES. But
as is my reservation with most Kickstarters in the year 2018, I really hope this team is able to deliver the product they're promising. You'll have to excuse me if I am extremely skeptical in the year 2018.
Yeah, I understand. Well, at least the target date's not until August. I mean, that's not that far away, but, you know, that stuff gets pushed back.
All right. Good luck.
Yeah.
Any other last minute stories?
Yeah, apparently during the whole, like, I think Dota event that was going on, there was a Valve presentation, and one of the first things that people were asking, or one of the
Half-Life 3.
They said was, yeah, we're still making games, and people left because they didn't believe them. But apparently they're still making games.
Oh, well, okay. Who knew?
Just someday we'll hear about them. That's all I got.
All right. Orange Lounge Radio. One more shout out for the Skype line. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. Rama in our chat over at live.vognetwork.com says, Carrie Fisher wins the Grammy posthumously. That's the only relevance to the Grammys. Fair enough. MXC says, OBS is still open source, so it seems the Streamlabs thing is built on top of the OBS engine, and that's okay because OBS is open source. Yes, true. That OBS really killed... what was the other big one people had to use before it? It was X something. People had XSplit, I think.
XSplit, yeah.
And they wanted to charge quite a bit of money for it. And they still do. I think it's still out there. And
yeah,
they're probably trying to give you some reason to keep... But man, OBS, I mean, it's free and it's pretty easy to use, I think. But I also... Keep in mind, when I was in college, I was actually studying like television, and I did things like edit a music video and edit some of those jokes from Under Sedation Live that were the mini movies that I was in. That some of you, I'm reaching here, but some of you that have been listening to the show a long time know what I'm talking about. Some of those in jokes from Under Sedation Live and those things I did were college projects that we were editing. So my point with that is a lot of those same concepts and things were like on the software we were using then that are in OBS. So it's not that hard for me to use, but anyway. We do have another call coming in, so I'm going to get to it if it will load here. I think it's taking us time to connect. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, it's Dark. Good to see you.
Hey, we haven't heard from you in a while. How are you? Well, I mean, you're always in chat. We don't get to Skype with you much. What's on your mind?
Oh, just a couple of quick things.
Yeah. Go for it.
Hey, quick question for Loki. Did you happen to find anything on that hard drive when you were transferring?
Like, find what? I found all my mix show stuff.
Yeah, anything like OLR related, because I guess Missy had asked me about, or had asked about it on Twitter. I don't know if you saw that.
Oh, they're looking for Orange Lounge Radio archive stuff.
Yeah, I didn't keep any of the episodes.
Yeah, he never had episode masters. That was really all me. And yeah, I assure you, between Misty and DDR Angel and some of the other big collectors, you guys had it all. Everything. In fact, when Misty was here, I dumped everything from my archives and gave it to her. So, yeah. Unfortunately, there are a handful of episodes that are just, they're gone right now.
Yeah.
But the good news is, I mean, like, most, honestly, it's probably only at most, like, 50 episodes that are gone. Like, there's still a whole ton. And who knows? They might turn up someday. I still have old computers sitting around here, and if I find some old hard drives, I'll take a look for you. You never know.
And that's okay, because if we miss some of the old episodes, then it'll make my presidential run easier later on.
Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, those were the best 50 episodes, obviously. Excuse me, you're listening to the best episode happening right now and the 49 before it, obviously. Thank you.
No, she had pinged me on Twitter, so I thought I'd ask about that.
Appreciate it. Well, anything else on your mind, Dr. Tsuya?
Just one quick thing.
Yeah.
Did you know that President Cat had made her Twitch debut late last year?
No, like as an actual streamer or somebody playing the game?
Yeah, someone was playing the game this late last year.
I knew
you'll have to go back.
I knew about the retro streamer guy because you sent us a tweet on it. And I just wasn't – I had something else going on IRL, so I wasn't able to watch it live. But I know somebody did do it. I did see the tweets about it.
Yeah, that's RetroPals on Twitch.
Well, I
do
just
recommend checking them out. They play a lot of older stuff.
I have nothing against RetroPals. I'm sure they're an awesome stream, and the fact that you like them I'm sure makes them awesome and good. But I seem to recall, Loki, did we not broadcast President Cat when you bought it on Justin TV back in the day, because we were
did
in
you?
The studio setup.
Maybe. I don't remember.
I feel like we did, because I know we played it.
I still have it somewhere.
I think we did, Dark Tetsuya. I don't know if they did it first. They might be the first to do it on Twitch, though, because when we were streaming, it was on Justin.
Oh, yeah.
So. All right. Well, my friend, I'm going to let you go so we can see if we get any more calls. But thanks so much for calling. It's always a pleasure to hear from you.
Yeah, sure.
All right. Take care.
Yep, thank you.
All right. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. If we get any last minute, you got to call like right now because I'm about to close it up. Loki, anything else to note here?
No.
No?
No.
I noticed Mr. Smush has come out into the studio and made himself known. He wants to get some pets from Loki and probably wants to get some food too at some point. It's usually why he wakes up from his nap. Hopefully will not keep me awake at all hours of the night. This is the latest thing he likes to do. If the blinds are pulled in the bedroom, which, we don't like to have the sunlight in, so the blinds are usually pulled, he will jump up on the windowsill and start clawing at the blinds.
So he
can see through them.
Oh, yeah. I remember my cat used to do that, trying to get it behind the blinds.
Annoying. And then last night, his snoring was so loud that Alan ended up going out to the couch. Because he couldn't sleep through Mr. Smush's snoring. And he snores so loud. If you didn't already know, Mr. Smush is my cat. So, all right. Well, that's it. No more calls are coming in. So I think we're going to wrap up the show. That's going to do it for another episode of Orange Lounge Radio. Hey, as we say every week on the show, if you enjoyed what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio, tell a friend or two about the show. Help us spread the word, because we are the show where every gamer has a voice. But if, you guys aren't out there, we can't get your voices on here. So, always appreciate having some new voices here, at Orange Lounge Radio. A nice 5-star review on a site like iTunes or Google Play or wherever it is you found this show, that goes a very long way. So we really appreciate those, where you can do that. That really does it for the show. I guess it's time for final thoughts. Loki, any final thoughts you want to get out?
I'm going to hopefully keep playing DDR and see about foam modding those pads, because that's only like $20 to do that. So I may start that this week.
All right. And I guess my final thought is, Mr. Smush wants me to take more pictures for his Instagram, huh? Yeah. Mr. Smush likes being a celebrity, doesn't he? You spoiled kitty. We'll be back in 7 days. Hopefully Jamie's back and we can all do this again here at Orange Lounge Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in tonight. We'll see you next Sunday. I am aware there is a big football game on, but we'll still be here nevertheless. So join us either on the podcast feed or be here live, because I'm pretty sure the football game ends before we do. So come join us. We'll see you in 7 days. Have a good night.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or Vogue Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.